Blog Talk Radio.
Radio here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. I see we have a very full queue. And first of all, I just want to sit there and, like I said before, thank everybody for being here. And tonight we're going to be talking about a little topics here and there, but it's 2 hours of angel readings and chatting about whatever, so you can bring a topic to the table too as well. So join us for a great roundtable conversation. We're going to have some we're doing relationship readings. We're doing free angel readings. If you want to get a past life reading too as well, let's call in and see what we can pick up. I want to read some things real quickly. First of all, we're also going to have a thing where we're doing readings that I want you to sit there and focus and tell me the first number that pops up. And actually what we're thinking about doing is that you have numbers as your area codes for your phone numbers. And I'm going to sit there and look at my angel book of numbers. I have an angel book here by Doreen Virtue called Angel Numbers 101. It's the meaning of 111, 123, 444, and other number sequences. I can't say the word. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at the situation, and we're going to sit there and see what your area code tells you about yourself. So And if you have a number that you'd like to throw out too, that you're thinking about, that you want to get the meeting to, let us know. First of all, I'm going to sit and read some information too. I have these meditations. I just feel prompted to actually read these things, first off, foremost. And to a lot of us are looking for more prosperity. And I found this really great meditation to do so. All right? And let's take a look. I'm going to read it real quick. It goes like this. It's like the idea of realizing that love, that there's a beacon of light. It's love. It's what attracts everything to us. It's a meditation. It's like a meditational prayer. And how it goes, it goes something like this. My conscious awareness of the divine presence within me as my supply is my supply. I am now consciously aware of this indwelling fountain of overflowing abundance. Therefore, I am abundant supply. My consciousness is very energy of money. I am the spirit of infinite plenty individualized. I am boundless abundance. And with love in my heart, I let the universal riches stream forth into perfect manifestation. What is expressed in love must be returned in full measure. Therefore, wave after wave of visible money supply flows to me now. I am wonderfully rich in consciousness, and I am bountifully supplied with money. I now realize my plan for abundant living. I see my bank account always fill with an all sufficiency to meet every need with a divine surplus. I see myself sharing this bounty for the good of all, according to the guidance of spirit. I happily see every bill paid now. I joyfully see every obligation met now. With great delight, I see the abundance continuing to flow to me. I am a divine magnet for money, and as I lovingly receive it, I lovingly use it with great wisdom. And this is the angels working with you with prosperity, and it's a great meditation. So take it in and look at the situation as they're talking about. The whole thing is changing your consciousness, so that is the very energy of money, which is actually the same as love, of sending it out there to get exactly what you want. And then we were sitting there focusing on, we were sitting there talking about the idea of focusing and saying that the person that I really care about the most I want to be with, and just the idea of the world itself. You want to really love more. And I found this, it simply helps you to focus in asking God and the angels to love and respect the person that you're in love with, and also the idea of love and respecting everyone that crosses your path, but also you ask the angels to help you to be a more loving person every day. Now, this meditation goes like this, and this is the angel of loving relationships talking as well. And it's almost like one of the situations awaiting to help you find that missing person. Okay? So we look at the situation that one person is beside us. Okay? It goes like this. We read this before, so just take it in. It says, today I send love to this world, and I call everyone my friend, regardless of who they are or what they've done, for I see only the Spirit of God in every person, including myself. I love the completeness I am, the selfhood of God we all share as our eternal reality. I look within to this magnificent self and I say, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I love all my neighbors on earth as I love myself, for we are one. I love unconditionally. I give my love freely, and that love returns to me in bountiful measure. I am worthy of love, of being loved, and I accept the love of others. I think of all the people I know by name, and I feel the harmlessness and the harmony that exists between us. I look at my family unit, and I see only the expression of love, goodwill, kindness, and respect among all members. I am thankful for my friend, and I see our relationships deepening in love, joy, and mutual understanding. And I know there is a special someone with overflowing love to share, who right at this moment is being attracted to the love I have to give, two flames soon uniting as one in a bond of love and ecstasy. Love is everything. Oh, how I love love. And then you take that meditation, which is a very good one, with the idea of focusing on nothing but unconditional love. And then we go to the next one where people, it's a meditation to help you to open up to unexpected, unusual, and astonishing happenings in your life with the angels. And this one here goes like this. I am willing to accept unexpected, unusual, and astonishing happenings in my life. For I am not fearful of that which comes from God by the way of the angels. There is but one presence in this universe, and I am one with that presence. There is but one power, and that power is good, loving, and benevolent. Knowing this, I step out in faith, ready to experience that which is hidden, that has been hidden to the minds of the minds closed to the extraordinary. I now open my mind, I now open myself to the incredible wonders of life, to new adventures that contribute to the greater understanding of the mysteries of the cosmos. I seek to believe the impossible, to witness strange and wonderful events, to behold phenomena that elude reasonable explanation. I am prepared to hear the inner voices of the angels, to see their visible demonstration of their hidden hand, to accept their sudden appearances before me in physical form. Angels, I choose to see, hear, feel, and know the multiple realities of other dimensions. Standing in God's love and light, I am ready. Let the experience begin. So you see, that's it's a very incredible situation. I look at those things and say, okay, that's cool. But these are ways of opening you up and working with the angels. This is a great book, too, as well, the meditations inside of it. And the book's called Angel Energy, How to Harness the Power of Angels in Your Everyday Life. This is by a guy named John Randolph Price. So with the situation, try to check that book out and check those meditations because it can really help you to connect. Also with the Doreen Virtue Angel book, that's by a lady named Doreen Virtue. She is the best-selling author of a book called Healing with the Angels, and I'm pretty sure a lot of us have had that book. Also, this book here is called Angel Numbers 101. So check that out, too, as well, because it's got some interesting things in there, because it's amazing how you look at all the numbers that cross your path throughout a day, and you look at the meanings in those books. I guarantee it has something to do with what's going on in your life. And that's the cool thing about it. And the situation at hand, we also offer you two other things here on the show where we sit and talk about going to a company called AnySync, which can actually enhance your meditation. Go to www.anyhemi-sync.com. It's a great company. It's a great website. They give you full details of all the CDs they have to offer, and they also give you a great impression about the situation, exactly what you need to do in the process of opening up all the gateways to your life to be more successful, and it actually helps the brain work as one, where actually sends a tone out through the music to basically help the brain itself and both hemispheres work together, which gives you intense concentration and focus. So with that, and if you want to, you can call them too at 1-800-541-2488. The number again is 1-800-541-2488, and the website is www.anyhemi-sync.com. Another company, which is a subliminal company with subliminal CDs, this company here is called BrainSync, and that website is www.brainsync.com. Again, that's www.brainsync.com, and you can give them a call too at 1-800-444-7962. That's 1-800-444-SYNC or 7962. So give them a call. It's really good. I actually own a lot of these CDs, so check them out. Also, if you want to get a private reading with me too, you can call me at 740-500-8863, or you can contact me at 740-601-1057. And with the situation at hand, we're looking at here too, you can also contact me through my website, which is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. Again, that's www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com. So give us a call. And actually, I want to sit there and tell everybody, if you're kind of wondering about the chat room, I just opened the chat room, so it's open. So pop in and start chatting and good things. And also, if you have a question in the chat room too as well, let us know, and I will get back to you. It's one of those things I try to go back and forth, but I focus so much on the people that are in the queue. Sometimes I have a tendency to forget, but I guarantee we'll work on that because we'll get back and forth. So if you have any questions, let us know. And Take it one, take it, and like we said, we're talking about relationships and that kind of stuff. And when I look at the situation of unconditional love, it was the ideal of helping people understand, why should you follow your heart? Won't that get you in trouble? No, it won't get you in trouble. And the problem, in the process, what it was probably doing is probably connecting you in certain ways, calling, being led to do certain things. And in the process, you might have ran up a big phone bill. But in the process of that happening, as those conversations, they brought you closer. So just pay the bill. Don't look at it as a mistake. Look at it as something that you were willing to do for this person. This person makes you feel like that anything's possible. So therefore, you stepped over the boundaries of limitation and started realizing there were no limitations, as in the ideal of being with the right person. So take that out too as well, because what's happening is, as you follow and as you follow your heart, if the mind is asleep, it can be awakened with spiritual illumination. And then you see the truth through spiritual eyes. Then you understand why you need to follow your heart. Because now you're going to see not just the idea of wanting what you want, but also seeing the possibilities and all opportunities that come to you that you maybe never saw before, because you wasn't following your heart. You were listening to your head and being too logical and putting too many limitations upon yourself. So let's go to the freaking phones and let's see what we got going on here. Let's go to our first caller. And that would be, as soon as the thing starts spinning. Okay, area code 931, welcome. You're on the air. What's your name?
Hi, Gina.
Hi. How are you? It seems pretty noisy at your house.
I'm great. Yeah, it is noisy here. So very much information on your intro there. I like that. Some things that I picked up that I didn't know about.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, it's like we're trying to find everybody. Why should you follow your heart? Because a lot of people, some people say following your heart gets you in trouble. And I say, no, it doesn't get you in trouble. It's the idea of realizing that if you want your life to change, there's certain things you're going to stop doing and there's certain things you're going to start doing, which is the ideal of really putting yourself out there. And I think that's one of the signs, too, that if we have a person who we just met or even in the process of doing things, and they don't want nothing, they don't step out and do those things. We should take that into consideration. Doesn't mean that they don't stop doing those things, but
your heart kind of overrules logic anyways. Your heart wants what it is, and it will figure out a way to overpower your mind in getting it. It always does.
They say if you follow your heart, you'll see the truth.
Absolutely. That's the one thing that is linked to your intuition that tells you, that gut feeling. A person's either right for you or wrong for you, totally. That's how you understand.
Yeah.
That's how you know the truth.
Yeah, and I think if you have a person who says, I'm following my heart, and you sit there and say, well, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I think you should look at yourself and go, okay, what did I just say? That didn't sound right.
Well, what they're doing is getting you to think rationally. If you picked apart every relationship that you really had that feeling that somebody's right for you rationally, nobody would be happy. Nobody would. Because they're not following what they truly desire. Because the outer influences of your friends, opinions, jobs, work, travel, your differences in lifestyle, everything would play such a difference in it. It would totally tear everything apart where you had no foundation to build a relationship with to begin with. There would be nothing. And your thought process has nothing to do with that initial feeling you get when you meet somebody for the first time and you actually see them and you exchange glances and you have that feeling. Your brain had nothing to do with that. That's your heart talking to you.
Yeah, because they say that the sense of separation and not feeling like you're a part of something comes from the head, which has been sleeping. So it says the truth is from the heart, which is awake, and it's the throne of God's self, and God's self, I am. And it also says surrender to the heart, to spirit, to truth, giving to one reality that which you thought was personality. This surrender takes you into the stream of love, where your thought processes will be anchored. You will think from the heart, from feelings of love, and the head will awaken with spiritual with spiritual illumination. So not only will you feel it and think the truth, you will also see it. You will look through spiritual eyes and see that which is real. And that's the point.
Life is actually in your heart. It's not in your mind. Your whole spark is
behind our heart. Do you know that?
Yes. Yeah.
They say the God essence is behind our heart. That's why we always focus on that one part of our body, because if you go behind the heart, one void with it. And I always sit here and say, if you focus on it long enough, you'll see this aqua blue plasma, which is like the life force of God self or God essence, that you'll see that. And when people focus on it, I swear to you, when you focus on that and you just say to yourself, I love, you can feel it of like connecting to yourself. And then when you connect with yourself, because I feel like in some sense the word, when people, when the truth is revealed as a person following the heart, I think when the excuses start, what's really going on is, okay, like a person that says, okay, I run my phone bill up, and so therefore I don't think it was worth it calling you. And you sit there, and then hopefully you have somebody on the other end going, no, you made a conscious choice to do that. So at that moment, you must have thought it was worth it, or it would have never happened. I think what that moment is a person following their heart and realizing they found exactly what they've been looking for. They're falling in love, and it's a strong realization to the point where they did see the truth, and now they want to run away from it.
Well, the running away part is your brain rationalizing, oh, this can't be right, it feels too good, I'm not used to this, this is scary, because it's the thing that they have looked for their whole life, and they can't believe it's right in front of them.
But also we can look at the situation, too, of somebody seeing the truth and realizing what's going to be realized as in the sense of having a future with this person. There are things in your life that are going to change and even be not a part of your life anymore. And it's almost like you said before, we were talking about this before, taking responsibility for the manifestation you just created, which means you want this. So why are you not accepting it? And yes, you're right. There's going to be, some people would say, you're going to be giving up a lot of things. Are you? Won't you look at the things you're going to be gaining? Because I guarantee you'll probably be gaining a whole lot more than what you're giving up.
The things that you're giving up are going to be minuscule compared to what you're going to gain. That feeling in your heart, spark of life, you're gonna gain that back.
And
that
also
is nothing to what you're going to give up. You know, it's nothing.
Right. Because we're trying to get people to realize you're not giving up anything. What you're doing is you're giving in the flow of life and realizing if you really look at your life, there are a lot of friends that have crossed your path that you don't talk to anymore. And when they don't have nothing to do with the relationship, it doesn't seem to bother you. But as soon as somebody says certain things are going to be X out of your life because of this relationship you're in, all of a sudden we want to hang tightly to our friends and family. And it's like a realization right then and there that maybe some of those people are just not good for us, but we're not willing to take a look at.
But they are familiar to them. They're a familiar comfort, and they're scared to step out of the box and experience something new and real. It scares them. Because they don't see the reality of, yes, this can happen. Is this really happening? Yes, it's happening. Yes, I have these feelings. Yes, they have the feelings. They're being groomed their whole life to be told and taught and have it enforced that they can never really fall in love, a real true love. And then when they find it, it sweeps them off their feet. They run.
Yeah.
They're scared.
In some sense, the word, too, you know, I feel like those people also have, with sense the friends and family are, they think, and it's like putting it out there and saying they're really important to me, it's really more of like an excuse saying I'm not ready to let go of the past. What you realize is those people do become something that you could look at as being X'd out in favor of the choice that you made to be with a certain person. The reason they're being X'd out is because they don't respect the relationship you're in and they don't respect you. So we got to look at those things as more of a tie to your past, and maybe the reason you won't let them go is because you're just not ready to let go of that past, that part of you that you know you're going to have to let go. That's the realization when they saw the true love developing, when they say, okay, I'm going to change. Well, we have to change in order to actually obtain what we're actually focusing on, and we also say we want new relationships, I want a new life. Well, in order to do that, we have to have a new self, don't we? So it's all part of the mix. I was just sitting there looking at you're talking about angel numbers and stuff, and I was just kind of curious about what did your area code mean, 931. in the angel
know.
Book. So
what
I was looking it up. It says, the Ascended Masters are guiding you to hold positive thoughts and emotions concerning your career and purpose in life. Positive thoughts are your greatest career asset. So it kind of makes sense, too, since the work, because you've got a lot of things changing, but now it seems like, you know, you have acquired some things that have to do with your job. In the process of coming and making a choice you did, it seems like everybody's a whole lot more happier.
Yeah, a lot more positive. A lot more positive. It seems like things are falling into place a lot easily. There they were.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like I was banging my head against a brick wall there for a while.
Right.
Trying to decide. But I had to weigh everything. There took over rationality. When I actually looked at my heart, what would make people happy around me, what made me happy, that's when I found where I needed to go and the path I need to take.
Yeah.
Until then, no.
And I always tell people,
too.
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Your brain picks everything apart. It just does. It's human nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we always sit here and say that the one little phrase that can help you out the most is just the two words, let go. Let go, let go, let go. And if you catch yourself and say, I'm letting go, maybe you're still hanging on to the roots of the trees that are on the bank. And so it's an illusion. And you're telling everybody, I'm not hanging on to the trees. I'm going with the flow. But at the same time, you're still hanging on to the roots, which means it's almost like having lack of faith in one's foundation. And that's what it represents to me.
So not letting yourself grow as a person or an individual spiritually or any other way.
Right. So, would you? I'll just ask you what the situation. Would you like to ask a question?
You know, the past relationships, you kind of know the details of those. What seems to be the problem that it seems to be hitting me into a brick wall every time? What seems to be the recurrent thing that I keep doing? Is it my heart that's stopping me, or is it my rational mind that's stopping me?
Well, I'm being told it's your rational mind. Because you feel it, you see it, you want to experience it, but then you have a tendency to have things that come to the surface that you've experienced before in the past and say, hey, you know something? Do you really want something to happen again? And, you don't hear nothing from somebody? And it's like your rational mind has a tendency to fill in the blanks with your inquiry. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. Because I pick everything apart and say, no, this can't be real, this can't be real, this can't be real. Absolutely do that.
And you have so many miracles that happen in your life every day that you don't question, but the ones that you do question are the ones that have to do with relationships. Because miracles can happen in any part of my life, but for relationships, I'm going to get stabbed every time.
Yep, I do, because I have major trust issues. Actually, I think that's linked to my ex-husband, very much so. I think I still have a lot of hurt and a lot of issues I haven't faced with that. I don't know where they are because I have no feelings for him at all. Not even hatred like I used to have. Those are gone.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
I think a lot of it's linked to him, the distrust I have in men. I think that they want one thing and that's it. And I can't understand, if you really have the desire and the want for somebody, why you don't step forward, why you don't step up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. Why not? If I would want somebody, I would let them know. I don't sit back and watch 10 years before I ever say something to them. Be bold and put it out there. If you want something, go get it. And I can't understand why they wait. I don't know if it's me, I scare them off, I make them nervous, or what. But definitely they run the other way.
I always say, with the situation of not really trying to figure out why people run away from you, or in the process you're saying chasing people off, I think it's in their realization, and sometimes knowing. I mean, I guess how would I put this? The idea it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter to have any kind of information when it comes to them. One of those things of looking at situations sometimes and going, okay, this person just basically either ran away or I pushed them away or whatever. But I think the root of the problem here is the person doesn't have enough backbone to actually stick up and stand up to you and tell you how they feel, and you tell them how you feel, and they just want to back off. Well, I want to deal with this. So to me, I look at it as a lack of strength that you have. but you have strength. This person doesn't. If they did, because you want it. I mean, in order to have a really strong relationship, you have to have a person in it as strong as you are.
So am I, like, kind of a person who has over the strength that I need? Do I show over it? Do I need to back away? Do I need to be more meek? What do I need to do?
You had the one right when you said just be you. It's not the idea of being more me. It's just the idea of being me. So, you know, it's like we would sit there and go, okay, I have all these good traits. If I just amplify those traits, then I'll get what I want. No, it doesn't work that way, because that actually could be the energy in some sense of us pushing them away, too. So what you want to do is just look at yourself. And if you can't
scare them.
Yeah, because you got to watch the energy. The energy can be really intense between two people, and it's the idea of learning how to balance that between the two of you, because the energy, when both come together and it is balanced, you guys can manifest anything you want at will. But you got to get to a point getting past establishing the relationship and knowing with each individual how to balance that energy within themselves, because a lot of us like to elude and we just like to express, which that's good, but it's also a time to learn to listen. So I think a relationship, we take on many roles. People don't understand this either. They think that I want to put more in a voice call, but you take on many roles in a relationship of understanding, you know. Sometimes you have to take on certain characteristics you have to take on because you want to be there for somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I say with the situation here, just be yourself. I mean, if you know, we have a tendency to go in these different characteristics because it's spontaneously, you know. You want to be there, you want to be nurturing, you want to be caring. There's times of just having fun and enjoying the experiences you're going through, and there's other times where you're intimate and there's certain other roles you take on too as well. And it's just the idea of learning how to explore all those things, but keeping the balance level. So therefore, one doesn't feel overwhelmed and working together. You can do it. It's just that what I want you the most here is to get the situation you're looking for. It's just the idea of being yourself.
Well, I have people who are drawn to me, but they never really, they don't let it go into fruition. They don't do anything about it. And sometimes they make it known, but then they back away. It's like a fear gets to them.
Are you at the airport?
No.
My home.
My home is noisy. Yeah.
Okay.
Flight 47 leaving.
Yeah.
DNA airport. Yeah.
I have my feet, so I got to get out of here. Would you like to stick around and maybe answer some questions for other people?
Sure. Yeah, I'd be glad to.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some callers in here, so let's go to them and see what's
up. Yeah, I can add some insight. I have my cards available.
Okay, cool. Let's go to
277.
Welcome to the air. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, my name's Crystal.
Crystal, where are you calling from?
From Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. What is that, Pennsylvania? Yes. I was having flashbacks of movies, sorry. I wasn't flashing with states.
Sorry.
Okay, so you're from Philadelphia. Say your name one more time, because I have Philadelphia stuck in my head.
It's Crystal.
Crystal. Okay, Crystal, yeah. We got Regina on the line, too, so if you would like to get input from both of us, that's great. If you just have a certain person that you're more drawn to, you can do that, too, as well. That's how it works. How can we help you tonight?
I wanted to see, lately things have been a little bit off-kilter. I've been having issues with my son's father as far as our custody agreement and child support, where he's just not paying or seeing our son.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, it's kind of like, my current relationship is kind of, with everything going on in my life and in his life, things just have been off kilter with us as well. And his name's Jerome, and I just wanted to see if he saw us, like, reconciling. We're not really arguing, we're just not really speaking as much. We're on the same page like we were. Now, there is a very strong connection between us, but I'm just not so sure what's going on right now.
Right.
I get the feeling that Jerome kind of backs away. That's his way. He doesn't argue. He's not, He doesn't stomp your toes and say, this is the way it's going to be. I get when he backs away and doesn't say anything, that's his way of his expressing his point of view by not arguing. He's not the person who's going to yell and scream at you and say, it's my way and this is how it's going to be done. But he is upset, clearly. I feel that. But I do think you will reconcile over it. Do you pick up anything, Donnie?
Oh, yeah. I just feel like Jerome is actually the key to the whole thing, too, as well. I just feel like in some ways he should be more supportive in what's going on. And almost like he's made the decision to do certain things, but he has a tendency to have a tough time following through with things that he says.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's saying that the whole thing's going to balance itself out. But it was like something came to me about the money as not the issue. It's more of an issue of an ex trying to have some kind of control over you by using this craziness and not giving you what you want. I also feel like he is a person who would take it a very strong threat. Like if you were able to find a solution where you don't need no child support from him, you don't need nothing, I get the impression he would find it as a threat. And then he would actually turn around and start paying you. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's what it came to me. As he just doesn't like people, he doesn't like people taking care of her. He wants to do that. And he's also he's jealous of Jerome. He's very jealous of him, too. So it's like a lot of pulling and almost like he's trying to pull you away from him. And he doesn't realize that his mannerisms and his characteristics of all these things that he does is what pushed you away.
But he's still got feelings for her, though. That's why he's still trying to draw her back any way he can. He's keeping up that connection. The child support is the last-ditch effort.
Right, his name's Christy. He's just being, like, almost, like, non-existent. Like, and it's killing me because I see my son's heartbreak, because he does love his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand where Chris is coming from, because somehow, some way, I'm to blame, but that it makes no sense. And I just don't, I mean, I don't understand what he wants and where, I mean, we will never be together again. I will never allow him in my life to that extent because he's very nasty, manipulative, and bipolar at that. And I've tried to help him, but I can't help him. It drags me down.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help him. He saw his mother and father do the same thing. You can't help him. That's the only way he knows how to be. That's the only example he's ever had in his life. I think the parents argue, too, as well.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I say, and that's what I feel like. Like, he can't be a father because in his heart, as mean as he is, he wants to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't understand. I do understand that he knows about Jerome. Jerome's not a secret. And to be honest with you, like, I was with Chris for 12 years. With Jerome, I never thought I could feel something so strong with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's falling apart, and I don't want it to be that. Now, Jerome also has an ex that never goes away.
Mm. Jerome's ex is not a problem. She's not a problem.
Well, see, when I look at the situation, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks except you and the situation you're dealing with. And I also get this impression with this Chris guy is that it's like looking at your life and going, okay, do you repeat this to anybody else? You talking about this, how Chris was and all these other things, or do you just keep focusing on the situation? Because it seems like there's a lot of focusing on what can I do, but not really focusing on the solution, which is the ideal of no communication with this guy at all.
Well, Chris, there is no communication. I have, like, I guess we were together since we were 16, so it's 12 years now. We broke up, we were together 12 years. I no longer care to stick up for him and to feel bad for him because I need to stand for myself. And that's what I've been doing, like, as far as through the courts and things like that. Now, our court hearing Monday, I mean, I don't know if there's a possibility he can go to jail, but this is, like, the fourth contempt hearing.
They're not going to lock him up this time, but the judge is going to be very harsh. He's going to force him to find employment.
I hear 90 days.
He's going to have to find employment with 90 days. He's going to have payments coming in. He's going to be very harsh with him this time.
you know, all I was saying was with the situation with Chris is the idea, is, like with Jerome and Chris and everything, the idea of trying to figure out them takes you away from you.
Right.
And I just keep think he's going back to focusing on you to the point where realistically, I keep getting to say, you need to focus on what you want. What do you want in the situation? And then make that your main goal of what you're going to do here. Because Chris is one of those people that, I guess you would sit here and look at the situation like this. They are who they are. They're not going to do things the way you think they should. That's your perception. Their perception is totally different. And the idea of respect is what you want. And you're not getting respect because you're not really, in the sense of the word, understanding that concept that they are who they are. And they're going to deal with things the way they're going to deal with things. I get the impression Chris has hurt a lot. And see, the one thing I keep hearing you say is me and Chris were together for this amount of years. See, that doesn't make no difference. Because today, Chris is not who he was 12 years ago. He's not who he was a week ago. So what we need to do in this situation, we need to sever ties and just say, you know something? I don't know Chris.
Right. I've actually been working on that majorly because I don't know Chris. And I came to that conclusion, like, I just don't know him. And I don't want to know him.
No, you've changed as an individual anyway. Chris is a person that nobody can really get to know. The only person that's going to make Chris happy is somebody who has the same tendencies to change and fluctuate like he does.
A nice
with
actress
the highs and the lows.
Seriously, a nice actress would really work because she could take
on the
role.
Oh, that'd be perfect. That'd be perfect. She could take on the role that she needs to take per day. He's almost like he has two or three personalities inside himself.
Yeah. It wasn't always. I guess what boggles me is that it wasn't always like this. It was almost like 3 or 4 years ago. Something in his head. I mean, he was always had a temper, things like that. But the other side started to show like about 3, 4 years ago, where he would go months without seeing our son. I guess where my heartache is in this is for my child because he does love his dad, and his dad hurts him by not being around. Like, he, you know, as far as, like, sports and things like that, he sees other kids with their dads, and he doesn't understand why his dad can't be there. Now, Jerome and Jordan do share a bond, but I also don't want to go there if that's not something that I need to pursue that can be something real.
You don't want you. I understand that you don't want to bring somebody else and introduce them into your son if they're not going to be around in his life. You don't want to take that person away and hurt him.
Jerome's the only person I've ever introduced to my son because I feel very, very strongly on not introducing or bringing people into my life or my son's life if I don't feel like it's real. Now, with Jerome, I always, like, I deserve a huge bond.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to do the roller coaster anymore, and I want to see, I guess maybe I question his feelings towards me because I'm not so sure. He's very inward as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I look at the situation as saying that the connections and bonds in that kind of situation of father and son, kind of to sit here and explain and say, okay, Chris is not hurting your son. It's your perception your son's taking of what a father should be. And I understand that because I've been there myself. But I also realized in the situation that I started off and just kind of like didn't want to do that. I wanted to sit here and live my life. So I sat and waited for my father for a period of time, for a very long time, who never came around when he was supposed to the point where I just started accepting that's who he was. And I feel like in the situation here is the ideal of helping your son understand that Chris is who he is and he's going to react differently than most other fathers. Sit here and group him just because he has the term father, that's kind of it's hard for people to freaking live up to those expectations because they don't have to because they're raised in different ways. I understand Chris which way because I feel like Chris, in some sense, word had a good environment and the way he's treating and that kind of stuff is it just seemed like it, I swear it's to me. I feel like it's just him acting out hurt and he doesn't realize it's affecting the other people he never thought about, which is his son. But this situation, you have to look at this thing realistically. The relationship that's going to happen here and the way life is going to unfold, if Chris continues to do the same thing, there's nothing to do with that. It's just the ideal. The thing I see the most here that I'm being pointed out here is just the ideal of maintaining the foundation and the bond that you have with your son yourself, because it will stand stronger than anything else in this world. And the other thing about worrying about introducing him to other people and that kind of stuff, the bond of father and son, as in the situation of, we're not talking materialistic, I mean material, we're talking about real love and caring. That will be created between your son and whoever he feels like should fit that point. But he has to, you know, it's just one of these things of letting this play out with his father and realize that the things that he should be getting from his father, he won't. And believe me, when I was in school and what my parents put up, and the idea of going, and I mean, my mom picking me up from football practice or track or something like that, those were kind of embarrassing, but I had no intentions of stopping living my life. I just looked at everybody and said, you know, it's the 1980s. Screw it. Just like this way, you know? And I'm just saying, the one thing I feel like you should really help your son do is the idea of embracing and experiencing life to the fullest and do whatever he wants to do, no matter if his father's in his life or not. Because when I said was focusing on, I mean, if you really realistically hit the lottery tomorrow, would you still pursue child support? Because it would be a waste of energy, because you'd have everything you needed. And it would also give you a chance to actually put things right where a person couldn't use that anymore as anything, even if he should be non-existent. He has a different opinion about the whole thing.
As a mother are going to be stronger and show your son more strength than Chris could ever show him if you have the ability to be that person and kind of play both roles. I do that for my son. I went through divorce. My husband doesn't see our son. Very seldom does he see him, but I kind of took over the role as mother and father. And I'm telling you, that bond between us has grown 100 times stronger than it ever. He's not missing out on anything because I make sure that as a mother I compensate for everything he would have missed from his father. And you'll do the same thing for your son. If he ages, he won't miss that. He will not miss
it. It's just the realization that in life, we don't miss out on nothing. That's a human interpretation. Everything happens just the way it's supposed to, and everything crosses our path, and everything just, that's the way it is. Because if you really think about it, the lack of, that's a human concept, to realize we don't miss anything. The longing for things that we wish we could have happened, but they're not things we missed. And the one thing I was sitting there looking at you too, your phone number, the area code is 267. And I was actually looking at 267 in my book, and it says, you're on the right path with respect to your thoughts on how to better manage or increase your finances to meet your material needs. Stay elevated in your thoughts and feelings about money, and you'll experience a much easier time of it.
So is that the Juice book?
Wow. What's that?
Is that Doreen Virtue's angel numbers?
Yeah.
Actually, I see 715 all the time, and that's my birth date. And I keep seeing it, and it says too about the angels are taking care of your financial needs. Let it to them.
They are. They are. If you'll notice, you worry about your finances a lot. But something always happens to pull through at the last moment. Have you noticed that?
Right now,
loose money in your purse. You found $20 you needed for gas about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Wadded up in your purse. I mean, even little things like that you're being taken care of.
See, I take care of an older lady during the day, and just even things like that. I don't know if it's like me just feeling overwhelmed. I mean, she's had surgeries and surgeries and surgeries. And even that feels so insecure. I feel like I should maybe look for something more permanent on that end, too, to secure Jordan and I in our position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the thing I get the most is everything's, it's like one of the things that's keep going forward. I feel like a lot of things are going to balance out. And that number you were talking about was 7 what? 751?
715.
Okay. I was looking at that where I was talking about, changes that you're making or considering are exactly the right steps for you to take. And the one I was looking at was your positive. It's like focusing on positive affirmation. That will make it easier for you to meet your material needs.
Yeah, and which I do. I've honestly, over the last couple of years, have came a long way where I am proud of myself to look at myself and say, Crystal, you do it either way. Whatever road you hit, you may hit a block after that, but you still make it somehow, some way.
Mm-hmm.
Because my intentions are good.
My grandfather used to tell me, you do things, and he'd say, got to. And just remember, got to. You owe it to your son. If nobody else does anything for him in his life, you as a mother owe it to your son to make his life the fullest in any way that you can. And you do. You don't need
to
help.
He knows that, yeah.
You do it yourself.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question about, I keep getting this impression with your grandfather on your mother's side. I'm just trying to confirm if he's passed or not.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the most awesome guy. They don't meet guys like him anymore.
Well, the thing I get the most is connecting with your grandfather on your mom's side is the idea that the connection still exists. And I, for some reason, I feel like that I keep getting him sitting in the living room as in something that is very important to him.
Are you getting my grandmom, though? She was the same way, but we were best friends.
Yeah,
was your grandfather's
that,
name Charles?
No, that's my dad's middle name.
I pick up Charles. Charles really strong. Charles and somebody's called CJ. Charles really, really
funny,
strong.
I was talking about my family owns an ice cream store, my mom. And I want my own ice cream store. And I always said about, like, with Jerome, I always said to him, like, look, when we have our own store, it'll be CJ's.
Yeah, I pick up Charles and CJ. Really, really strongly with you. Your dad's
you
building, isn't he?
With Jerome, though, do you feel like we're going to, because he's actually away right now in Florida, and he should be home Tuesday, but do you feel like when he comes home, things will be able to smooth out?
They'll smooth out with him. He's just trying to put some of his emotions aside and figure things out for himself. He's best when he does that, because he's actually thinking. He's not,
he doesn't stop thinking.
Arguing.
I read him through his eyes.
He's not an argumentative person. He's more quiet and reserved in his thoughts. When he speaks, then listen, because that's what he's filtered everything through. He's thought it through, and that's really what he wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just say something to make you happy.
And he has really been opening up on the spot with his ex. And like I've seen sides of him recently that like. Truly believe like he is in love with me, like he says, but then it's just like that backbone, like that ex, like, and the way he disappears and the way
Ashley
comes out constantly.
She's gonna have, the ex is gonna be out of the picture in 8 months anyway. No more than 8 months in like 2 weeks, and she'll be totally out of the picture. I see her getting a job offer in Nevada. She's gonna be gone. So don't worry about her being around and hindering your relationship. She'll be gone.
Yeah. I also get the impression, too, that when you have this part of you that kind of is not sure if the room loves you or not, I really get the strong impression what you need to do at that moment is focus on yourself, focus on the essence within yourself, and just kind of like, just say to yourself, as in the process of bowing your head and focusing on the God essence, which is right behind the heart, the space right behind the heart, and just keep saying to yourself, I love, I love, I love. See, in the process of loving, you feel what people get. And I feel like at those moments, there's a lot too much going on where it's kind of like you're thinking that he doesn't, but I just feel like it's just blocked. And when you start doing that, it kind of reawakens everything and realigns yourself with yourself. It also connects you with yourself, so therefore you can feel it. And I know, I, for a fact, I've done that several times during the last week or so where I just kind of like bow my head and I just know beyond a shadow of a doubt about a person's feelings. And so it's one of those things, people will portray themselves on the surface a lot of ways, and it's usually a lot of protection, of protecting themselves, and maybe certain realizations they don't want to look at in the process of what you're going right now. I feel like Jerome is keeping distance because of being pulled into this emotionally, but also a certain acceptance about himself that when he did say he loves you, when he feels that, that seems to be something that he has a hard time dealing with because it's overwhelming. And it's like, I guess it's trying to help people say, okay, that's normal. But I just feel in those moments, if you sit there and do that one technique and just connect with yourself and just say that you love yourself, then you know people love you, and the ones who do and the ones who don't. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. You'll be fine. Don't worry about
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think with him being away anyway, I think that, you know, I mean, I don't, it's like an uncomfortable situation that he is away, but I feel like I'm kind of sitting back being like, okay, Crystal, well, you're not always the most open person. Your intentions are always good and your feelings are true. And he does know that, but I block something that, like, I block, it's almost like I'll put a sarcasm to it because I don't want to feel the rejection or the hurt because he's so inward and very, very, very hard to read.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been, like, about a year, so, but he, you know, he thinks more than he needs to think himself. But when he thinks, he doesn't speak. So he kind of just goes with his own little story.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying. When I sit here and talk about letting go and opening yourself up to the whole thing and connecting to yourself with that meditation, it's the idea of opening the senses because it's the idea that realistically, relationships are more on what you feel with each other. It has something to do with, well, person's actions or just things they do. It's not who they really are. In the process of focusing on the God essence, you're focusing on the true person, not the ego that you see on the surface of a person. So, well, I got to protect myself. That's a fear. That's what the ego tells you. Fears pop up. The ego goes, protect yourself. You got to do this. But the spiritual side will say, oh no, let's open ourselves up and see what this person feels like. Because realistically, guys, a person told me one time that says, I hate getting hurt. I said, I love it because it reminds me I'm still alive and I still got a way to go to find the right person.
It's an experience. It's definitely an experience.
Oh, yeah. But
I actually learned a lot. I've learned a lot recently where not only about other people but about myself and where maybe I've never would have seen it. And I think that's what opens me up with Jerome so much. Mm-hmm. Actually, before I even knew Jerome, I saw Jerome years and years and years ago. We both remember this. We literally made eye contact, and that was it. Mm-hmm. When I came across him again, I never realized it was him until we brought up the situation when I'd seen him at a fair. And I was like, oh, my God, that was you. But we literally made, like, that eye contact. And I didn't even know him until a good 7 years later.
Yeah.
And do you feel that this can be is going to be a committed thing where, you know, I can continue to allow with Jordan being around him, us doing things together and...
Well, like I said,
I see it less.
You see what? Yeah, okay. What I was saying was, really, honestly, you know, the situation I see unfolding with the two of you is the ideal if you remain open. Because like I said before, I remain open. I get hurt a lot in certain things, but I also keep going and just say, okay, that's just a reminder and telling me, okay, that wasn't the one. Or even the point of opening yourself up, like I was trying to say too, is sometimes you got to leave yourself open so when you do feel a person who has pulled away from you, you can really feel the true love between the two of you. Therefore, you sit there and start thinking all kinds of crazy stuff that goes with it and filling in the blanks with insecurities when you can fill the blanks in with the truth. So I'm just saying stay true to the heart. I feel like as long as you stay true to your heart and true to the situation and actually learn from each other, this will go on for a very long time.
Okay, so you do think then when he comes home, we'll be able to, because I feel like now like that he's away, like, there's so much that I do want to tell him that I understand and on my end that I never understood.
I get the impression that when he comes home, just seduce him and then talk about it later.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, that's the first thing that came to me. It says, just seduce him, show him how much you missed him, and then talk about the other stuff afterwards.
Okay.
And like I tell everybody out there, you like to get a personal reading with me, I really recommend at least thinking about getting a past life regression or a past life reading. I think it would really help you understand a lot of things that are going on in your life, why you do attract certain situations, and why you don't like drama, but you keep attracting it too. So it's like trying to eliminate those things. So
your website?
My website is www.psychic-hyphen, I don't know what you want to call this, hyphen journeyman.net. yolasite.com.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking the time with me tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. And like I said before, you know, someone check
it.
If you don't get, you know, get back to me with a reading and anytime like that, because what I'm saying is I would love to work with you. But if you don't, please call us back and give us an update on your situation.
Yeah, I definitely will. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a fantastic night, okay? Thank you for the call, too.
Thanks. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. All right, Regina. I got to go get some water. I ate some chili for dinner, and it's like my son-in-law informed me that he actually put peppers in it, and peppers really set me on fire. So
I'm going to let you go, too. I've got company, but I'll try to log back in later and answer questions again.
Okay, well, I was just going to take a break and play some music if you want to hang on. But if you got something to do, okay, too, as well.
I do, so I'll call you back.
No problem.
I'll call you back. Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in. Thank you for helping us
out,
too. It was great.
You're welcome.
You have a good night.
All right, you too. Yeah. Bye-bye.
You too. Take care. And everybody else who's in the queue, we will definitely get to you. Just let's take a little break here. I'm going to play a little music by Journey called Be Good to Yourself, because I feel like that's what we really need to do, first and foremost, to even have any kind of success in our life and any kind of part of our lives. So here it is, Journey, Be Good to Yourself.
Don't let your soul lose its own.
hey guys, we're back, and how you doing? This is Psychic X Journey Man. Here on Psychic X Journey Man Talk Radio, or on Blog Talk Radio. So welcome, we're at the top of the dial here. We got 54 minutes and 51 seconds left in the show. If you want to give us a call in here, it's 646-721-9031. Again, that number is 646-721-9031 to get a reading or a past live reading or ask some questions about some things you've been talking about on the show and that kind of thing. We would welcome anything that you have to come and say. We'll answer any questions you want. So therefore, give us a call, 646-721-9031. And we saw it before, in case you didn't get the information, we're going to chat. Actually, what we're going to do real quickly is take a look in the chat room, see what's up there. And let's see, I'm going to put some information in the chat room too as well. The website. And we'll get that to you. No problem. Let's see, we have... Okay, see, we got Houston Lighthouse. Who is that? I think I knew what she's talking about. I need a little more information. I got the email, which I will not give. But what we're going to do here, I'm going to give out the new information in the chat room, give you the website. And also, if anybody has any questions in the chat room, please put them in the chat room or IM me and give me a question. And I'll be glad to answer it for you. So here it is. It's www.psychic, I say dash, some people say hyphen, journeyman. And this will give you an idea what I mean by hyphen. Or, yeah. So let's check that out. It's www.psychic-journeyman.neosite.com. And the phone numbers are 740-500-8863 or 740-601-1057. And the readings for the people who call the show usually start out between readings for an hour reading is $65 and $45 for a half hour. But I had a lady today who told me she wanted to meet in the middle, so she actually paid $50 for a reading. So I am pretty open to any offers. That's why I tell everybody, just, you know, tell me what your budget is, what you can comfortably afford. So that's what it's all about. Doing the readings, getting the information out there, and helping people. So let me know. I would be glad to do that. Yeah, the prices have changed, but like I said before, there's a place to start. So realistically, if you came to me once before and got a reading, okay? If you came to me and got a reading before, and if you want that price, just let me know. I don't think it would be any problem. So just let me know. Like I said before, the prices are just the place to start. And some people have a tendency to look at the situation and go, well, that's too much. Well, don't look at it that way. Okay? Don't look at it that way. Look at it as, if you're here, you're crossing paths and that kind of stuff, I think that there's a reason for it. So just talk about it and make it work for you. All right? And the lady who was reading with me is actually a friend I've known for 3 years that I met about 3 years ago. She was a client at one time. Now she's a friend of mine. She comes in from time to time, and it's one of those situations Whereas, you know, so it's, sometimes you just have people cross your path and those friendships happen. I think it's one of those things that we just have to go with the flow, don't we? So if anybody else in the chat room has anything they want to ask or something like that, just let us know. And we'll be checking back periodically. Now we're going to go and we have area code 281. We're going to be bringing on the air here in about 2 seconds. And then after that, it'll be 615. We have 49 minutes left in the show. And if you want to call in and get a reading, please do so. Call us at 646-721-9031. And I tell everybody, if you're in the queue, we will get to you. And even if we go over, we've been able to stay on the air for at least about another hour and record it. So get in there and give us a call. I guarantee we'll get to you. We'll answer your questions. And real quickly, I've been sitting here looking at the 281. And if you're listening out there, 281, I'm going to look it up in the angel book and see what it's all about. Okay. 281 in the book is, the more positive you keep your thoughts and feelings concerning finances, the better everything works out. So keep that in mind. And this bring 281 on the air. What do you say, huh? Here we go. Area code 281, you're on the air. Welcome to the show. What's your name?
Hi, how you doing? This is Rona. I'm calling from Texas.
Texas. Are you the one that says Houston Light?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, how you doing tonight?
That's a good question. A lot of things have happened.
Well, I hope you're doing great.
Well, it's just one of those things. You have a tendency to cross paths with people and that kind of stuff, and you're kind of like wondering about with some of the experiences that have happened, was it good or bad? And sometimes I think I do myself have to sit back and just look at it as events that have unfolded and just part of the journey and
yeah.
Take it in. But I think when things happen to you, no matter what they are, it's the idea of retuning with yourself to ask yourself, okay, what did I feel when that happened? Instead of looking at the surface, because a lot of things just don't make no sense on the surface. But when we start feeling them, and the reason I stress this all the time to everybody is because I know when I sit down and meditate, and just leave myself open to see really what it was. I also get answers from my angels. Anybody that's around me, all the guidance and all the protection. But I also feel that one particular person that I'm having problems with or I'm kind of confused back about or I'm trying to understand them. I feel them more to the point where I know myself and then I don't feel the sense of asking anybody else.
Yeah.
So, right. So, well, let's get to the topic. What you called in for?
I guess I was just calling in to. I don't know. Do you do any past regression readings, or is that something that you offer on your site, or?
Yeah, I offer that on my site, and
okay.
I usually tell people when it comes to regressions. Regression is like a form of meditation. It's a state that we use where we use your angels and we take you back to certain points in the past life experiences. But we also do, so there's a variation, you can do the transition. What we offer on the show is past life readings where we sit there and focus on you and I tell you what I pick up. So I'm doing the work for you. Instead of you going back, I'm focusing on what I see and feel and what comes to me. But the regression is solely you and your angels working to go back to certain points. What you feel, what you see, and then we basically, focus on those, and then see what we come up with. So that's almost like those are usually I tell people call me for the hour sessions because we have a tendency to have variations in the prices because of people's budgets, and it does take some time. But we like to have the hour at least. So therefore, some people are hard to take under because they have a tendency the logical mind doesn't want to step back and let things happen. So they have a tendency to go, okay, angels, okay, whatever. And that we have to get through certain conditions that you've been subjected to get to that point. So it takes a little while. But I'm just saying, if you want to sit there and focus on a past life, I mean, we're looking at the situation that a lot of connection with you in the 1800s.
Yeah, that would be great.
Because I actually get 2 points in time of the 1800s, and I get one's 1843 and 1872. 281. Where is it? Where is 281? What state is that?
That's in Texas, Houston.
Okay. What I get is a tie-in with you with the Old West. One is 1872. I keep getting you in Colorado. I actually see some familiar places because I've actually been to Colorado. So I keep actually getting 1872, which is actually Manitou Springs, Colorado, was actually established around that time. And there's some places there that are actually still there from those times at the point of being established and really some hardships. I also get you a connection with the TB. They call them TB. They're like little shacks and stuff that people used to go to Manitou Springs and particularly in Colorado to get into the mountains because of the natural springs that are there. So we get a lot of variations of looking for, like 1872, of actually looking at that as something of healing. I guess you would say TB is a lung disease, but it seems like in some sense of the word, you felt like if you went there, it would heal you. So I get that very strongly. And I do feel like you had a very long, productive life. 1843 seems like the one life that was not... I would say, I don't think you lived more than 30 years.
Okay.
So that's a brief, but it seems like it's an important one because it seemed like there was a lot of realizations with you in the situation of almost like incarnating as a man and saying, boy, that was not really good. I don't like, and usually I've never gotten those before where it's like a male, a female being a male and vice versa. And a lot of people focus on the situation of realizing that spiritual is spiritual. But I think sometimes I get a little defensive when people try to explain a certain ailment in this lifetime by using spirituality and saying, well, when you're a spirit, it doesn't matter if you're male or female. So therefore, basically, is an excuse to justify what they're doing. And they use a past life to justify a decision when you should definitely focus on the past life itself, bringing things to the light and letting it unfold naturally. So therefore, you see it for what it is, as the message of connecting you to this lifetime, as saying, okay, this is why certain things are happening in your lifetime, because you haven't let that go, or there's some kind of issue or something to deal with. Now, I get the impression with the situation that I do feel like you have, from time to time in this lifetime, that I feel like there are some certain ailments with your lungs. Does that make a sense to you?
You said certain illnesses?
Yeah, they have to do with lungs, like, you know, having pneumonia, having just being susceptible to the flus and that kind of stuff. Almost like you get the neck and the chest area.
And you're saying that that's something I'm dealing with. I've dealt with this in this life.
Yeah, things that you've dealt with. It doesn't mean you have to be dealing with it right this moment. It just means in this lifetime, say that, like most people, there's a lot of people who don't get ammonia, who don't get anything. And I'm just saying that it seems like with the past life of having trouble with your lungs, there seems like there's some issues still with that still are with you that have a tendency to manifest those in this lifetime. You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
So it's like when you get the flu, you get the flu.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, and I'm just saying I keep getting that you get a bout with ammonia.
Okay.
Well, did you?
No, I haven't, but I've had someone close to me have.
Okay. When people close to you have certain things they're going through, don't you feel it too?
Yeah.
Okay, that could be the reason why. Because I was sitting there going, okay, I know that I felt that coming across very clearly. And then when you said someone else had it, I also got this point where you can mask people. And what masking is just the idea of taking on their energy and feeling what they're feeling so you can identify with them.
Yeah.
A way of being there for them. So that's one of the things with situation understanding. But like I said, 1843 was just a year of realizations and some things that you really do like about the idea of being a female, and we're wanting to continue those things as well. There are some frustrations and struggles, and you don't like being told what to do. I knew that. So it's one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in the 1800s, but reason you would get a lot of stems in the 1800s is because of a lot of things going on. That would be, that affected you too as well. It's just, not just, you know, it's just the idea of being a woman. And always tired of being passed over or looked around, or just the idea of where you feel like some of the men you had in your life always wanted to put you behind them. And you seem like you're a very strong person.
Yeah.
You want companionship, but you don't want someone to baby you.
Yeah, so.
So with the situation in your life right now, you have a lot of things going on, correct?
Yeah, I do. I do have a lot of things going on. I was just trying to figure out if you know, anything in my past life kind of coincided with what you know, my present.
What's the idea of having any kind of freaking lung ailment back in the 1800s? Well, something that made you angry, because the situation is you feel like, I'm a very strong person, so the idea of getting sick is really offensive to you. And you feel like at this moment you're weak, or something, that there's a weakness within you, when it's actually just something that environmental. It wasn't you, per se, but, and I feel like that's one thing you have. So they keep getting the situation within you, because it keeps telling you over and over again, the idea of balancing things out in your life right now, the way things are going and the way things will start falling into place, is just, that's something you need to deal with, you know, within yourself. When there's chaos within yourself, there's chaos in your life.
Yeah.
And I feel like with the situation, it's just the idea of going in. It's like going inwards and say, okay, everything I see realistically is an illusion that's created by my perceptions and my fears. If I deal with those things, then you'll start seeing those things on the outside go, and either people that you're dealing with will no longer be a part of your life, or they will be, but they'll be more understanding and respectful, and that's just what, and this, that's what will happen.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'm just saying, with your situation, I feel like real strong. That's what we're sitting here talking about, three angels. When we're talking about those meditations, today I send love to this world. No matter what they've done or who they are, I just say I love them, and I try to see the Spirit of God in everyone and even myself. And when you really strive to do that, which is like we were saying before, you know, God and angels help me to love unconditionally and respect this person or these situations or just everybody in the world at this moment, you know, help me to love unconditionally and respect those people, and also help me to love more every day. In the process of loving more every day, you learn to understand that even when you make mistakes, it was just one situation out of many. And to realize that, like I've always said before, I tell everybody, when you start realizing you made the decision to do that, you can also make a decision to go in a different direction, so therefore you won't go down that road again. It's simply the perception, like we were saying before, all the things that you were focusing on, and all your perceptions from the past is what's created today. So you want to change those perceptions, so therefore tomorrow is a whole lot different. And I really feel like you're looking for change, but it just keeps telling me over and over again, the balance that you're looking for in your life is within you. And it seems like that one answer could actually answer a lot of questions of things that are going on in your life.
Okay.
Because I think we really have to get to the point of saying, okay, there's people who are not in our lives right now. So therefore, there's a definite reflection to you, since there is no reflection from that person, since they're not a part of your life anymore, to focus on you.
Okay.
And then we always stress to everybody, too, that we're not trying to say in the selfish way. We're just saying that you have to give you the time, respect, and love that you would give anybody else before you actually get it back in return. So this is basically what you're trying to attract in your life. So therefore, you have to be it before you get it. And also the situation of looking at things realistically, looking past the illusion, to realize that the things that you think are really the problems is also another perception. You know, I'm talking about where you look at situations and say, okay, my car broke down, my life just was ruined.
Yeah.
That's your perception. It's just a freaking car that broke down. And it's up to you to get around that, to get around that problem, not to go, well, okay, my life's over.
It's funny. You know? It's funny that you say about the use the analogy with the car, because my car has been down for like 2 months, and I pretty much changed my perception of everything. And like most people, they come up to me and they're like, "If I was in your situation, I just wouldn't understand how I could just make it like that." And I'm like, you know, I'm just thankful that I have this, and you know, have the other things. You know, just a car, I can. You know, I have my different ways of getting around, so. But yeah.
Yes. It's like what I do is I test the universe. It's like when people sit there and say, well, I had a neighbor one time, he used to sit there and say, well, I wrecked my car, so I can't go to work. And I always had a funny feeling he actually wrecked his car on purpose so he could stay home with his girlfriend. And what I did was I sit there going, okay, I'm always saying that with faith, and we can pretty much do whatever we want to do if we really believe we can do it. So what I did was, this guy said it a couple of times. I said, why are you not going to your job? He says, well, I have no car. How can I get back and forth? And we both lived in the same place. He was my neighbor. What I did was I actually hitchhiked into town, got a job where he used to work at, and kept it for almost 3 to 4 months without no transportation. Let's put it this way. Didn't have no car. Every morning I would walk about 20 minutes to get to the highway. And every time I would do that, I would get to the highway and I would say, okay, God, I need a ride to work. And it'd be nice if it would, you know, I got to be there and I want to be at least 10 minutes early. And you know, a car always stopped and picked me up. There was actually a couple of situations where the cars were actually going in the opposite direction, because what happens on the road I was on, you would go up into town, and then where I used to go to work was right, and there was another place for work that was to the left. And I actually had a couple of people pick me up each morning who were actually going left but would still take me right and take me to work. And the most mysterious one was there would be this pickup truck with a little cab on the back that would pick me up every Thursday. And this went on for about 3 or 4 months. One morning he just stopped. Didn't say a word. He just stopped. He had all tinted windows, so I couldn't see he was in this truck. But it just stopped right in front of me. So I was like, okay. Something was just telling me just to jump in the back of the pickup, and this guy would take me to work. So I did. See, we're following our feelings. We're following what we feel about the situation, what's being told us. And so I did. I got back to the truck. This went on for about 3 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, one morning, the guy pulled those little doors you have on the pickup trucks in the back window.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, it's about time since we've been doing this for 3 months. I think I should introduce myself. And he was one of the nicest people I ever met. And people go, you just jumped in somebody's truck? And see, you're letting the world perceive this situation the way it was, as something bad. And in the end, it wasn't. It was one of the nicest people you ever met. It was just his way of dealing with life and saying, okay, I pulled over, you get in, we'll keep our distance until I feel like I feel comfortable enough to actually talk to you. And this went on for, like I said, every Thursday. It was funny. Every Thursday this would happen. And then finally, I finally got somebody at work that I started riding back and forth with. But even if a person didn't show up, like this one guy, a couple times he didn't show up to pick me up, I would just start walking. And sure enough, I'd always get the ride to work. And then I was sitting there one day. I was went into town because I was still doing this business. I was doing readings out of my house and still going doing this job. I actually acquired me a banner I put outside on the fence, who I was and stuff, and I bought a sign that had my name on it and what I did and that kind of stuff. It cost me like $100. And I was just telling everybody, all these things was things that I just walked. Most people would say you're walking blindly in life. No, I call it walking with guidance and saying, okay, these things are happening to me. Every time I feel like I should do something, it's amazing. At the end of the whole thing, I always had what I wanted. Like I got the sign. And there was a guy even that I bought a sign from. He didn't give stuff to people and then say, pay me later. But for some reason, he did that with me. So that's what I'm telling everybody. Don't go by perceptions of everybody else's perception. You know, live your life the way you see it happening, the way it's unfolding. Because I guarantee you, if you have that kind of faith, it will happen that way. Because I've had so many things that people told me, like, oh, that guy charged you $100 for that sign, but he won't let you pay for it later. He wants the money up front. And this guy came out to my house and delivered the sign to me, which is, we're talking 20 minutes out of town, just driving. And guy pulls up and just hands me the sign. I'm like, well, I don't have the money yet. It hasn't come in yet. And he goes, oh, no problem. Just pay me when you get it. Now, this is a guy who doesn't do that. And then I was sitting there talking to his wife one day and saying, you know, all the walking I've been doing and all the, and relying on transportation, it'd be nice to just have a bike to ride in where I could just do it myself. And one morning, one day I walked in there to get some business cards that she had printed up for me. She looked at me and she goes, my husband has a 10-speed that he hasn't used since he bought it. If you like, I've talked to him about it, and he says you can use it. He's even going to give it to you because he doesn't ride it anymore. See, people, it's like looking at people going, if you sit there and catch yourself saying things like, I can't start a business because I have no money, or I can't have no transportation because I have no money, or whatever the excuse is. I've seen excuses said, my friends say, I shouldn't be in a relationship with a certain person because my friends say it. See, if you really look at those situations, those are just insecurities inside the person themselves who are making the excuses. So if you can get past that point, no more excuses. Excuses, Dr. Wayne Dreyer says excuses be gone, because all excuses are keeping you from where you really want to be at. It's just the fear of going there is why you make up an excuse in the first place. Because if you know successful people don't make excuses, they look at the next thing they're going to do. And that's what I'm saying with you. It's that simple. But as human, that human side always tries to make things more complicated than they really are. When you look at it through a spiritual sense and realize that maybe the key is just to love, and you'll see exactly what you attract into your life.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
I'm hoping that wasn't too much for you.
No, that wasn't too much for me. It makes a lot of sense. I guess everything is everything that I've been through is just, I feel like it's like culminating to a point to where I'm at a crossroads. Like I need to figure out what exactly I need to be doing in this life. Like,
right.
I'm a mother, but I feel like I'm here to do something more than just, you know, even though the mothering has contributed greatly to developing, like, a lot of my, enhancing my sensitive side, my emotion of my intuitive side, but I feel like I just want to be able to help others, you know? And, you know, when I'm able to help others, I feel like a sense of pride and confidence. Like the energy like that I send to others, it comes back to me and it just makes me feel better. But I just feel like right now it's like a lot of blockage. It's a lot of uncertainty, confusion about a lot of things in my life. And I've meditated. I've been doing meditation and things, and I've actually had like a lot of visions about a lot of stuff that has that I said was going to occur, and it has occurred, and it was just pretty interesting. But
See, what I was going to do here is I got to get on some other callers, but let me give you one more number before you go, because I was actually looking at the next numbers in your phone number, which I won't put out. I'll just sit there and read the thing to you. And it's basically what it says is you know what the numbers are of the next three numbers of your phone number, so you'll understand this when you see this number. And basically what it says is it says big changes that you're going through will bring great blessings into your life and will ultimately mean that your life gets easier. I thought you might want to hear that.
Yeah. that's really great to hear.
So just keep going. Just keep moving forward, and you'll see exactly what that means. Okay?
Okay.
So thank you for calling in, and I can tell everybody else, you want to get a reading from me, I'd love to work with you in any kind of shape or form. So I tell everybody, whatever your budget is, just let me know and we'll work it out.
Okay, and what is your website again?
The website is www.psychic-journeyman.yolasite.com.
Okay.
All righty?
All right, well, thank you very much. You have a great night.
You too, thank you. You have a great night too. All righty. See here, also the situation, we're talking about donations to the show and also donations to get me back to Colorado where I feel like my home. So if you guys get a chance, like we say with all donations that are donated to the world, donated to the show, thank you very much. And now we're going to go on to area code 615. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name? Hello? Area code 615, you are on the air. Welcome to the show, and what's your name? Okay. Okay, let's go on to our next caller. I'm curious. Let's go down here to, for some reason, I'm being pulled to 936. Welcome to the show.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing good.
You're doing good?
Just one. Yeah, doing great, actually.
Okay, well, what's your name?
Richard.
Richard. So, Richard, with the situation and then the things in your life, how can we help you today?
I was wondering if I could find out who I was in a past life and is that affecting my certain financial situation.
So you're going through a situation right now where you're trying to figure out why is it so hard to get ahead?
Yes.
Let me say something real quick, everybody. If you're in the queue, just stick with us and we'll get to you. And even when we're not on the air, we're still recording. So we will definitely get to you and every one of you because we noticed that we could actually stay on for another hour. So just hang in there with us. Richard, when's your birthday?
12/10/74.
12/10/74.
719.
Oh. 7 what? 719. Okay, I'm sorry. That's actually July 19th. Okay, July 19th, sorry.
Huh?
Let's see. I keep saying January. No, I meant to say July. You have a lot of people around you.
No.
No, what I mean is you have a lot of people around you in general. I keep getting a lot of souls around you. I really do.
Hmm.
But I keep picking up all these birthdays, January, December, when you're actually July, right?
No, I'm December.
Oh, you're December?
I'm December 10th, yeah.
When is July? July 14th. Anyway, the past life, one thing I keep thinking for the past life is the idea of I'm being pointed out to 1836. Almost like I get a really strong impression with a gold rush of some kind. I keep seeing gold, but also in the process of silver, too. I'm getting great wealth very quickly and losing it about as fast as it came. I've almost like a part of that whole lifetime. It's always been hard since then. Because, in some sense, the word you've lost, like a lack of faith within yourself, because of that lifetime. And I'm just saying to everybody, I'm just saying that the one, I just feel like if you. The thing I get the most is the ideal. It comes to me as job. Because job is important. I got to work. I got to do these certain things. And there's just so much got it in the whole situation when realistically it's a lack of faith within yourself, realizing that it's not the job that makes you successful. And it's not working your butt off that makes you successful. It's really what you think. Your perception is exactly what you're doing. Forgive me, guys. I ate some really chili. I didn't really realize at the time I ate it was a spicy food. So we're using things to try to extinguish the fire.
Ah.
Yes.
Milk.
Well, milk really seems to aggravate it more.
Huh.
So I'm actually drinking V8 juice. And it seems like that's what's really working. There's certain acids. It's like an acid can neutralize another acid.
Ah.
So it's working really well. So what I'm saying to you is it's the ideal that I feel very strong with the situation, a lot of things that are going on. It's just the idea of going within yourself and saying, okay, I'm just freaking out. and then try to calm that. So the one thing I used to try to teach people a lot was when things are happening in your life in some kind of a negative way, is to try to take that and turn it into a negative affirmation. At the point of when you do that, then you can realize you can turn it into a positive affirmation and then change your life just as quick. You see how that works?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people sit there and go, well, you know, I'm going to reaffirm it and say, okay, this is going on, that's going on. I'm going to tell my friends that my life sucks and that kind of stuff. I'm not realizing that you're just reaffirming it more and more and more to the point where you don't think your life's going to change. It's just the ideal. It's not going to until you change the way you're interacting with everybody, that kind of stuff, where you just get to the point where you say, I refuse to talk about these things anymore. So that's the one lifetime that actually pops up the most. There is a part in the 1930s. Where I would like, it's almost like 100 years later, 1836, and then you got 1936, where there's this big, and then the change goes on for a period of time, where it's another period of time that you were looking forward to getting yourself in a good financial way, and then the world plays another crazy hand. And what it's saying with the situations is in those situations of financial, you know, like being financially poor, that
right.
in those situations, there were people who were doing it. They were making it. They just found solutions to do that. They didn't continue to feed into, okay, because a lot of people do that. They'll say, I'm stuck.
Right.
When you're not stuck, it's the idea of looking at situations and saying, the only reason I'm stuck is because I choose to look at I don't look at it any way. I can only perceive it that way. Well, if you realize that your subconscious mind can be changed any way you want to, so therefore when you realize that, and then you start realizing that the choices that brought you to the point where you're at now can also take you out of the situation just as quick. What are you going to do? You going to keep letting the world dictate your success, or are you going to do it? Because realistically, if you look at the world right now, it's structured to do one thing, and that's to enslave you. That might sound like a harsh thing to do. But see, that's the world. That's the world perception. Do you really want to sit there and go, because people have done that before. Well, the world says this, and the world says that. What do you freaking do? Okay, guys?
Right.
The world will tell you anything you want to know, because the world is just anxious to tell you anything, because, you know, the ideal of the situation, and we have these economists and all kinds of stuff saying, well, you know, you don't know. But then again, you do. And they always perceive it the way they look at it. They're always looking at things on the surface. And they're always sitting there going, okay, the economy says this and da 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 da. The economy doesn't say anything because it doesn't talk. It doesn't have a voice of its own except for the media and everything else that comes along with it. And plus, you look at the ideal. The economy would not exist if there wasn't people on this earth. So therefore, when the people that are a part of the economy are not focusing on prosperity and they're focusing on lack, that's what you get. It's mass consciousness. So in order to divert and change mass consciousness, you could be the one person who could actually turn it the other way where it's positive. The economy right now is fluctuating back and forth because people are fluctuating back and forth. Should I buy or should I not? And it's just the idea of realizing if you don't put it out there, you can't get nothing back. And that means anything. That means anything. Like I've told people before, I've actually done readings for people and taken all kinds of compensation. Bartering's one, where it's like I give a reading and the person gives me a reading, we change out readings, or a person is massage person or whatever, or any kind of service, whatever it is. I've had people do websites for me and all kinds of stuff with exchanging readings and stuff. So it's one of those things of any kind of way you can put out will definitely bring you something back. And always do it and I always tell people, if you don't do it in a loving way, it'll come back to bite you in the ass. So you don't want that to happen. You want things to be very positive. And There's a lot of ways of boomerang effect. Like people out there, if they're in denial in relationships, the boomerang effect was it will bring you right back to all the things you said to that person. Like, we're not in love. I don't want this. It'll never be us. Or these kind of things. They'll come back to basically have to eat those words when it comes to jobs and that kind of stuff. Or even things outside that realm, you could have a boomerang effect. And the idea of putting out there, like, if you are angry because things are not happening as fast as you want to, what's going to happen is the prosperity is going to come in, But your anger was another thing you put out there, too. So you might have a gap between things going good, and then you have that little gap where it goes, ooh, there's the anger coming back at you, that this just ain't going to work, and boom. And then you get past that point, and then things will heal up. It's just one of those things to realize from that point on that your impatience brought on the anger thing, so that's why you had the bang, boomerang effect. Because life can be continuous. Continuous.
Right.
I'm sorry, I almost slipped into continuous sex, sorry. Continuous success, which means a lot of people have a hard time that when things are going great, they stop affirming it.
Right.
That's the idea of not being scared to ask for more in the process of you're still getting it anyway. It's just the idea of keeping going, things going on. For example, I was working at a company that came and just kind of dropped in my lap. I was sitting there working for one of these day labor places, and I was like, this is good, but I like to have something permanent and more stable. So I started focusing on that. And all of a sudden, this day labor place I was going to, I wasn't getting any work. Well, instead of freaking out about the whole thing, I was like, okay, I know when things like this happen, it's to start looking for what I already asked for, the solution. Something's going to happen where I'm going to be working anyway, but it won't be there. Because they were sending me to a landfill, and it was having some really bad effects health-wise on me because of some of the chemicals I was around. So I asked to be taken away from that. And sure enough, I was sitting there at home reading a book, and in one of these books I had as a bookmarker, it was a job agency, I was a business card they'd given me. And I just, for some reason, something told me to go read this book. I opened the book up, and the card fell in my lap. And I was like, whoa, okay, that don't happen. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens for a reason. So I took that card, called that number, and do you know, in less than 20 minutes, I had a full-time job. It was just the idea of following that guidance, no matter how crazy it was or what was going on. It wasn't to get caught up in what was not going my way. It was the idea of realizing that the reason things were the job, reason I wasn't getting the jobs out of the job agency no more was because they were leading me somewhere else that was more beneficial and good for me. And that's what happened. It was just the idea of paying attention to all the signs that fell into my lap, which literally a car did fall in my lap. And sure enough, it was just one of those things, well, I like to have second shift, okay. No, I like to have third shift. Ain't no problem. So that's what I'm saying. There's been, that's just great. So I just feel like that is what's going to happen to you in the next month and a half. So therefore, open up yourself to the situation where it's going to take you. Because a lot of people sit here and go like this. There's another one, too. I'm going to college for so many freaking years for this, and this is what I'm going to do. Now, see, that's a limitation they're putting on themselves and not opening up to the possibility what the universe can bring them. And once you start realizing, I've seen a lot of people who've gone to college for lots of things, they're not doing them. They're just not doing
exactly
those things, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's like what my situation is. I mean, I was thinking of going into law enforcement and just a bunch of other things that just didn't pan out. And then it was kind of funny, too, because I was actually looking at a couple of psychics. I had actually called on the psychic line before, and it wasn't until somebody said, why are you not doing this kind of work? I said, what kind of work is that? And they said, psychic work. You're one of the most powerful. The energy with you is like you're one of the most powerful people I've ever met. That's such great psychic ability. Why are you not using it? And I was like, that's kind of funny. Yesterday I was wishing I could. And now I have someone who affirms it for me. So you have to open your mind to those too. Because it's like when you're in the right place at the right time and you're doing what you think you should be doing, there's always those days when you have doubt where somebody comes into the situation and goes, this is what you're destined to do. And you didn't do nothing to do that but do your job. And believe me, I was in my shop a couple of times. I had a couple of shops, and it seemed like those days where you're like, I'm just sitting here not doing anything. No one's walking through the door. You start having doubts about certain things. Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And then you finally get that one reading where someone comes in and goes, this is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. You are so gifted, and then they reaffirm that to you. And that's not the idea of getting a big head. It's the idea of saying, okay, that's what I was looking for. I mean, I remember being in my shop a couple of times where I was looking for information. Things would just be, I'm baffled by this, or someone gave me it was a continuous horseshoe is what they called it. It was like a horseshoe that's continuous. There's no opening. And I asked one day, I said, well, you know, I have a funny feeling that means something. I wish somebody would walk through that door and just tell me what it means. You know, 2 days later, someone walked that door and told me exactly what it meant. And that's the thing, that's why I sit here and tell everybody, when I say let go and open up to the possibilities, you'd be amazed what drops at your doorstep. And I just feel like there's some things coming up that have been held back because you just, there's a little lack of faith. But I feel like if you just open up the possibilities again, I just feel like they would be happening again. Well, that's, I just get, like I said before, a month and a half, it seems like a very clear thing to me, okay?
Okay.
And, let's look at your number, too, 936. I'll sit here and talk with the zip, the area codes. I won't talk about anything else.
Because
I don't get out people's phone numbers or not like that. But 936. 936 says, all of your material needs are met by the Ascended Masters, leaving you free to completely focus on serving a spiritual purpose through your career. So you see, that's a very, that's really a good affirmation itself. And also a confirmation that, for some reason, I get a lot of self-employment with you, a lot of things that you can do yourself. So really take a look at this, okay?
I worked as a jockey agent for 10 years, and I was actually thinking about doing that again.
Well, like I always said before, you know, the one thing in your life that you love to do, you should be doing it.
I guess I'm moving to Phoenix. Shit.
There you go.
There I go.
Don't be scared, man. Don't be. I mean, I always tell people all the time, don't be scared to take those things. I mean, if something's pulling at you, it's pulling you for a reason, and it wants you to go in that direction.
Yeah, definitely.
And you probably would have so much fun and be so productive because you would be in a situation where you'd love to go to work. I mean, I talk to people all the time, I hate going to work. I mean, why do you do it? I got to make money. No, you don't. You don't have to do anything. Once you start to put in the situation and what you want, need, and desire. It's, you know, desire is the biggest thing here, too, as well. Put it out there, what you want, what you just, you know, I deserve it. This is my desire. Therefore, I always see things like that. I have a friend of mine that was actually on the road, on the show talking. It seemed like how fast her employment of going from not working and worrying about a lot of things fell into place. Just by changing and letting go, going with the flow. So that's what I would do with you, okay?
Okay.
And I thank you for calling. Please call us back and give us an update on your situation. And I could tell everybody else, you know, I urge everybody if they can, get a reading. I'd love to work with every one of you good people and make a difference, okay?
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great night.
Oh, you're welcome. You too.
Bye-bye.
Where should we go? All right. Let's go on to... what do I want to do here? Let's go to 415. Area code 415. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you?
Hey, it's two males and one... the one wraps another male. We don't get that very often. Anyway. What's your name?
Joe is my name.
Joe. How you doing, Joe?
Great.
And, okay, Joe, let me see, 415, I wanted to sit here and look at your number two real quick, in my angel book, 415, okay, let's see, 415, what it means in the book here is the angels are helping you make positive life changes. And they ask you to relax and trust the process.
Okay.
So Joe, how can we help you tonight and have that number set with you?
Well, I was just curious about what you might pick up on any past lives.
Well, the one thing I pick up is 19. And first of all, give me your birthday.
July 26th. 1951.
Yes. Okay. First of all, I get a freaking really connection with 1945. As a major, it's like something about your life in 1945. It's like one of those situations, I really don't get a lot of information, but go back and look at that whole thing. But it seemed like it would explain a lot of things. And I guess 1945 would actually put you at what? Like 5 years before you were born, right? But, when I was there to look at the situation, there's a lot of things that affected you on the whole thing, where I felt like your life ended in 45. And then a fast reincarnation. Gosh, it's like 1945. I keep getting uniforms. I get you in the Navy. I get the military. I see the big guns. I see, what that freak is, that freaking ship. I get to see it. I can see the guns. It's one of those, oh, shoot, what is it? I'm not really getting the name of the ship. I keep getting MacArthur. MacArthur. And I feel like it's like December. And I feel like it's very cold. Very interesting. Like I said before, I see the big guns. I see the huge big guns. I see the gray of the ship. I look at these things. It's almost like I see a day where there's like, all I see is ocean. I don't see any land. I just see ocean. And I feel like it's very, and it's like cold. It's not very cold. It's just cold. Like, it's like watching, seeing someone wear like a jacket or something. Not because it's cold, but it's for, like, this one here seems to be more for protection. It's something you would wear on the deck. It's like you get the impression I get the impression here it's a war. Well, of course it's a war, but I'm just saying with you, it's like you're in it. I actually see you getting blown off the freaking ship. Where it's like the ship gets hit, and you get, I mean, it's like you're going off the ship. I feel like your life ended that day. And then you're born in 1951. It's almost like you get a lot of incarnations here. 1, 2, 3. Where it's like 1945, 1916, 1902. And it's like, I don't know. A lot of changes within you. Almost like having a lot of changes in your life now. So you're still there? Joe? Hello, Joe.
Yes, I'm still here.
I was like, oh no, we lost the guy. Okay, sorry about that. Everybody get back in the queue so we won't lose you again. Anyway, I was actually trying to check on... Okay, that's who we lost. Joe. Okay, well, interesting, isn't it? Okay. I think... Let me see here.
Wait till he gets on.
Okay, Joe, we get you back?
Yes.
Okay, because we lost you there for a minute.
Yes.
I want to say something. I just want to say... Okay, I just want to say something real quick to everybody out there. Thank you for everybody for being here. Everybody in the chat room, keep... If you want to keep communicating with me, I'll keep communicating with you. It's just after we go off the air, you can't hear me anymore. But I urge everybody to call in and get your questions answered or any kind of past life things that you want to do, any questions, kind of thing. Give us a call at 646-721-9031. If you want to call for private readings, that number is 740-500-863 or 740-500-863 or 740-601-1057. And the website, in case you guys didn't catch it the first time, is www.psychic-journeyman. I should say psychic dash, as in not a hyphen, but a dash. Journeyman.yolasite.com. And everybody who's in the queue right now, if you just hang in there, we're going to be going off the air in about 18, 19 seconds, but we're still going to be recording, and I'm going to get to each and everybody who's in the queue, and we're going to answer all your questions. So just be patient, please, and we'll get to everyone. Okay, well, Joe, with all the things that you heard, I mean, I was sitting there that in some ways, in this lifetime, there's a lot of changes going on in just this lifetime, too, as well.
Yes.
So the chaos with everything going on with the past lives, you know, it's like a transition and incarnation. When I say transition, I mean death, and that kind of thing very quickly. And it seemed like you had a lot of connections with wars. Because I was like, look, in 1945, which is actually the end of the war, And there's a lot of things going on with that, too. But there was actually some battles out in the ocean that, you know, how it goes. I mean, people, the war ends, basically, but there's still people on the, there's certain things that still go on until the word gets to everybody. And then I got 1916, which I feel like there's a war associated with that, too. But, like, it's really old uniforms and old hats and old helmets. And then they're not old. I'm just saying when I see them, I've seen them before in museums. And then I got 1902. In 1902, it seems like you're established with shipping yards.
Okay.
So there's a lot of variations in there, but I feel like it's not really important with the facts, and I kind of, it's just the idea of transition, that those things were something that you thought maybe ended too quickly when they actually happened just the way they were supposed to, and the idea of looking at those things, that they've kind of traced you to this part of the life. In this lifetime, where it's like, okay, I got all this chaos going on there, and I feel like in the process of cutting loose the past and letting it go completely, as in knowing that those things did happen, and then understand that, I feel like the chaos in your life right now would be a thing that would cease. Relationships seem to be something that is really driving you crazy.
I was wondering if I've had any former life with my present wife.
Well, like the one with your present life, it seems like you guys have a very good life together, so therefore there's not a lot of past lives together.
Okay.
It seems like there's three lifetimes together where you were together, but they were good. So it's almost like two soulmates, or I call it two twin flames going to the realizing what they are, what they have between each other, that they just go out to the universe just because they want to find each other and have more experiences, as in each lifetime. And in each lifetime, they're predicted in different ways, so therefore, relationships are different. It's almost like the people getting it through their heads the first time. Love is all it is, all about. It's not about that. It's not about money. It's not about prestige. It's not about that person being a man and all, which we get a lot of that still, where people are like, well, this guy's a man, so I want to be with him. When it's just the ideal of loving a person for the essence of who they are, I don't get it. Why that can't be obtained, where it's just so easy to go, okay. And in this lifetime, and actually in the 21st century, it's been the first time in mankind that we can actually marry people and have relationships just because we love them. We don't have to. There's no other alternative motives or any kind of expectation. We can just love somebody and be with them just because of that. And there's still a lot of it going on where you're like, I got to have a guy who makes $50,000 a year. And I always say, well, if you want to make $50,000 a year, I don't know if it'll happen. And if it does, it's going to be a really unbalanced relationship. So those are the things to look at. But when I look at the situation, you and your wife, I go back to the Egyptian time. I get 2567 BC.
Back to Egyptian time.
Right. And actually, I think Khufu built the Great Pyramid around the 2500 BC, around in there somewhere, 2525, somewhere down there. I know that. So I feel like that, I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to get all these kingdoms in the perspective. I mean, I love history, but the idea of putting these things in categories and stuff like that when it comes to past life readings, they seem to fall into place. And I know I've had a lot of people who are around the Egyptian time, but I have a show in the mornings called The Missing Spiritual Link, where we had people come along and actually met Atlanteans, who were actually the ones who actually put a foot in the Egyptians' butt to actually motivate them to do what they did. Same thing with the Mayas and everybody else, where these cultures were just kind of wandering. And then one day they decided to do all these great things, where I feel like the motivation came from a highly advanced civilization, which was called Atlantis. And then we have the Lemuria, which I think was before Atlantis, which actually they evolved into the Atlantean. But things like that. So I get Egyptians, I get you are Egyptian, but I also feel like things have already been established, so I get the 2500s. I get 2567. I also got 1976 BC. So not
okay.
A big, I think 1976 is part of the New Kingdom. It's either the Middle Kingdom or the New Kingdom. Anyway, you have two lifetimes in the Egyptians where we're talking, I keep getting the Old Kingdom and the New Kingdom. So, you know, with those situations going on, I feel like that there was a lot of things going on. I do feel like you're wearing the traditional headpiece, because I definitely see the blue, and it's blue and yellow with that that thing that drapes over your shoulders, we've seen with the Great Pyramid. But also I see the gold snake, which is a snake. I had the word around my tongue. Viper? Anyway, I see the snake. So I feel like you're definitely of royalty, high royalty. Somewhere I get the impression of being a brother to a pharaoh.
Okay.
I keep getting these too. Like.
So in this life, I have quite a bit of musical talent. Did that come from anywhere? Did that come along from any other life?
Early 1800s. I go through a lot of things with you. It's like 1865, 1845, 1830, 18. It's like a countdown. I'm trying to wait. Sometimes I get these things where it's like a Rolodex, and it just keeps going. So it stops a year. The one that got the Egyptian came really quick. Boom. You and your wife were together, and then you guys had some really good lives. You had, I mean, it was just everything seemed to fall into place for you. There was no really any kind of ruffles or any kind of waves in your life. It just seemed like it was just all things came together. I wanted to sit there and say that you were the Pharaoh's brother, and I keep getting Ramses. I get Ramses II. Okay, now people know about Ramses and Moses. Well, that was actually Ramses IV. That was supposed to be the Ramses that actually did that. And people don't realize there's more than one Ramses. There's actually four different styles. Now, the Ramses we're talking about, that was the one who had a problem with Moses, had over 100 children. That was interesting. For some reason, I just see a lot of women walk around going, boy, am I sore. But anyway, you know, but I get Ramses II, being a brother to Ramses II. I feel like in some sense of the word, some kind of things were going around at the time of your life, okay? Where the idea of Moses, maybe not in name, but it was known. There was also a lot of stories going around that were still being trickled around about Atlantis, of actually saying that the Egyptians were actually originated from Atlantis, and things like that. So I get the impression of suppressed music abilities. And in this lifetime, being able to take those suppressed music talents and do something with them.
Okay.
Yep.
And yes, I was also, is there any like lives with my daughter?
You know, I get the impression your life on your daughter has been with you. Anytime you guys are reincarnated, she's always been there.
Interesting.
And if it's, I get like in Egyptian times, I think you actually had more than one, but she always seemed to be the oldest.
Well, that's good.
Mm. She's an only child, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, with the situation, I got one lifetime, I have three kids, she's the oldest. She seems to really take charge of situations. She seems to be really grounded.
Yeah, she wants to be the ruler.
Yes.
She's 10.
So, it's the idea of being, that's when you can look at somebody and say, yeah, you just feel like you guys have been all together in the same lifetime, because it's the idea of looking at things and saying, okay. Like, she's very good at looking through people.
Yeah.
And she just kind of looks, I think I just got this one guy that she's associated with, and she just looks at him and says, you're so full of it. And she seems, and I feel like it's, like almost like, okay, we go from one point, as she gets older, she gets more bolder.
Yeah.
As a very small child, it's like everybody was like, okay, just ask her, you know, see what she wants. But it's, you know, it's like, I guess with, it's like looking at the situation and saying, looking at a girl who is has some great wisdom, and she just really She has no quorums. Well, how can I say that word? I can't say it. I'm sorry, guys. Heartburn's killing me. She has no. She doesn't apologize for who she is.
Mm-hmm.
She is who she is.
Yeah, she's a good kid.
Yeah, how old is your daughter?
10.
Wow, because there's a lot of fluctuations with that woman. Because I was like trying to find, okay, do we call her girl or do we call her woman? What are we calling her? But it just seemed like she just has so much. And it's one of those things to encourage within her that always strive to be who she is. Now, sometimes when she gets older and she's in her teens and her 20s, it could be a pain. But always realize she's just a reflection of you.
Well, that would explain it then.
Because it was like, my daughter did it. My mom said the same thing to my daughter. She goes, your daughter's just like you. And I said, thank you. And she goes, I didn't mean it as a compliment. And I'm like, well, perception's everything, so I perceive it as a compliment. So, you know, it's one of those things you look at situations and go, okay, I can see it. I can feel it. I know it. So just live it. Because I've had so many people who tell me things, and I just go, you can say what you want, but the truth is the truth, and you can keep denying it till doomsday. It will come out. It will come forth, and if you're lucky, you might actually be able to experience it when you realize it. Or you will experience something like it. I'm just saying, with your situation, I'd really focus on your music and talents and do as I can. The music, talents, and gifts that you have, utilize.
Yeah.
In any kind of way you can do. Write, sing, create.
Anything you can do.
Whatever you're drawn to, do. Yes.
Okay. My wife wants me to ask you if the soldier in the 1900s, if I was German.
If you were German. In the 19th century or 1900s?
In the 1900s.
Okay, so we're talking about early 19th century, like between 19...
The early 20th century.
Okay, the early 20th century. Okay, no, I got it. You know, I get the impression, I would say in 1902 you were German, yeah. Actually, that's what I keep getting. Yes, you are German. This was explained to temper.
I had a meditation one time, and I kind of had an inkling that I was in the word the Argonne came, which was both a battlefield in World War I and World War II.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That can actually explain the connection. Mm-hmm. Cool. Anyway, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, look at the situation and get a confirmation on that. Those are definitely two battlefields. There's two battlefields that you were definitely a part of. Have you ever wanted to go to these battlefields?
I've. No, not exactly to the battlefield. No.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, because the only thing I get with that whole thing is the idea of think it through before you do it, because you will definitely experience a lot. And I'll give you what I mean by that is I used to live in this place here in Ohio called Winchester, and we had this, I think it was called Corky's Raiders, which was part of the Civil War.
Right.
Yeah, causing chaos, and they actually came to it. They actually rode through that area. And certain nights, I could actually see the soldiers walking across that field. There's just a lot of things going on, and it was one situation when we walked down the road, you would see the light reflecting off a tree, and it looked like a woman standing there waiting for someone to return. And it was so funny, you could actually get right up on it, and it would still look the same until you actually got to the tree itself. And then everything else would just go back to you couldn't see it, like the light wasn't even there. So you have all those kind of things going on. And I don't think I was a part of that whole thing, but it was definitely a pretty wild experience. to see that tree, because I feel like what was going on there was where the tree is now was where a woman waited for a very long time for her husband to return, which I feel like he didn't, to the point where she's still waiting. And my daughter, she went to Gettysburg around the battlefield down there, which you got campgrounds down there. And she says, from the time it gets dark until the time the sun comes up, all you hear is a battle raging. That's why I stress the situation. If you go to those places, that's pretty much what you'll experience, because you have a connection with those mm-hmm. areas. So you would definitely pick up, and I always stress to people about going to those kind of things, because I feel like they say that those are associated with your death in those lifetimes. So therefore, you might even see that too. And if you ever want to do a life path regression with me or anybody you're comfortable with and that kind of stuff, it's good to actually go to the point of those lifetimes and also experience death itself once you realize that's going to happen. A lot of people don't realize those things are going to happen, and then when they do, they're not really ready for it. But I always tell people, we're going to take you to the lifetime, and then we're going to kind of take you and speed and lead through the lifetime itself, and then we're going to take you to the time you died to help you understand that in the midst of transition, there is pain for a second. And then the rest of it is just the experience of the out-of-body experience of realizing that there is no pain after death. And the ideal death itself is just a transition to where you realize you left your body, and then you kind of even pondered upon that as you were moving on.
I've almost pretty much been through that in this lifetime, actually.
Right.
No?
Interesting. I'm just saying. But that's the one thing, that's all I pick up with you right now. But I do feel like a past life regression would be really good. Not just the idea of the light going to the light certain lifetimes that we're not picking up, but also to work with your angels one-on-one. And usually when we do a regression, I usually ask for Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael to come in and basically hold your hand and take you back to those lifetimes.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. I have some really cool music that goes with it, too. So try to make it, the best experience that you can. People think it's crazy when you look at people and go, I guarantee if you come to me, you'll have one of the best readings in your life. Does this mean you'll never have another good reading in your life? No, it just means having confidence in oneself of what you can actually experience, but also in the process of helping people. You have to be that confident within yourself, or are you really doing any justice to the people you work with? So that's what I'm saying with you, is you have the talent that you have and those things. I wish I could stress to a lot of people, when someone says that you're gifted and talented, don't sit there and kind of say, no, I'm not. If somebody sees it, maybe you're just hanging on to things to where you just can't see it. But I guarantee if you do see it, don't procrastinate on it either.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, drinking and partying is not living life to the fullest. Living life to the fullest is utilizing all your gifts and talents and everything that you brought into this world, into this lifetime. And drinking and partying has a tendency to actually take away from that. So if anybody's out there listening, teenagers, idiots, did I say idiots? Oh, sorry. Troubled youth. Anyway, but is there anything that you'd like to, any other questions you'd like to ask?
I'm curious about my brother-in-law. How can I break that relationship?
How can you
sever the relationship?
It's easy to sever relationships if you really want to do that. It's like the biggest thing about relationships and stuff that people want to sever is that they have a tendency to be pulled into situations where people call or do all kinds of crazy things to keep those attachments open. When you take the responsibility of the whole thing and say, okay, what can I do to stop that? It's just the idea of no communication whatsoever. If that's what you really want to do, I just feel like, in the sense of the word, yeah, severing the whole relationship, period, needs to happen, but I don't think it's going to be something that's going to be something going to forever. I do feel like it needs to be severed, so therefore he can see exactly what he does to people.
I'm a little confused by that.
Well, if anybody, okay, say that the person that you're talking about calls you, writes you a letter, comes to your door, you don't answer. This is the idea of giving someone a signal, giving somebody a sign that says, I don't want nothing to do with you. You don't say, like, for example, I had this girlfriend who I love dearly, but she keeps saying, leave me alone. But in the process of telling me she wants me to leave her alone, she always contacts me. It's like my sister said something to her. So she contacts me and says, well, tell your family to leave me alone. And everybody's kind of baffled by, okay, why did you even make any kind of communication with me if you want nothing to do with me? The best thing to do is just leave it alone. But somewhere in the line, there's some kind of communication for some reason why she needs to do that. And if I really didn't want anything to do with her, I wouldn't answer her. But I do, so I answer her. I talk to her, I communicate with her. But I'm saying, I've seen people, okay, looks like this. It's abusive relationships. We've got past the point where we're no longer with them anymore and that kind of stuff, and the guy calls. Now, see, the first instinct we have is to answer the phone. If someone comes to our door, the first instinct we have is to answer the door. We don't realize we have a choice.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean by that?
I definitely understand that. It's that.
I feel like with the situation you're talking about, with certain things that are going to happen, he's going to resolve some problems within himself, which causes conflict. So there later in life, I feel like there's going to be a time where you're going to push aside what has happened and actually be able to have a relationship. That's what I meant. But it's one of those things. I'm just saying, right now, some of the things that have happened, it's kind of hard to see that. So don't try. I'm just saying, to answer, to help you understand what I was saying before with the information that I got, that's what it means. But there's nothing you have to do to make that happen. It's just something that's going to happen spontaneously. It's going to fall right into place where you're going to kind of look back on the whole thing. And I think a lot of things will be a, like I said before, it's just the idea of what you feel like you need to do right now. And it's like almost like saying, leave me alone, period. So,
I can't leave me alone.
Well, see, the point is, it's understood. Okay, well, like I've told abusive women or people who are like brothers and sisters, and they say, well, this person just won't leave me alone. I say, well, sometimes there are certain things that you don't want to do because you're scared of the outcome, because what people are going to think or say or whatever, and we have a tendency not to do the thing that we need to do, which is whatever we need to do to make a person, put a person in a position to say, okay, you don't get it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. It's the idea of loving that person to the point of saying, you need help, or whatever it is, and take it to the next level, call the cops, whatever. And people just say, well, I don't want to hurt this person's feelings. Okay, I guess it's okay for him to smack you in the face, but you don't want to hurt his feelings. Okay, I don't understand that, but it's one of those things of looking at things. People do things, and the consequences of their actions, why not follow through with the consequences of what is the consequences of their actions? If you're not going to follow through and make them experience the consequence, then you're going to continue to do what they're doing.
Right. Has there been any past life experience between he and I?
Yeah, but they were actually good. So the conflict that you have in this lifetime is this lifetime. I really don't get the impression. I would say one thing. I do feel a sense of jealousy.
A sense of what?
Jealousy.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess we could take it back to a past life when you guys, everything was going really good for you, where there was certain jealousies that maybe wasn't seen or felt at that time, but they still existed. It wasn't very strong. And then in this lifetime, they've gotten stronger, where it's like, this kind of society will actually amplify a lot of those jealousy tendencies anyway. You think, as far advanced as we've gotten, that we'd be able to face anything that comes in front of us? But,
All right, well, thank you very much.
Have I helped you? I hope I did.
Oh, yeah, tremendously. I'd like to contact you again and go through the past life regressions or
okay. Oh yeah, no problem. I'd be glad to work with you too. I look forward to it.
All right, fantastic. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You guys have a great night. Thank you for the call. And please call us sometime to give us an update on how your life's going, that kind of thing.
Okay, fantastic. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye now. Okay, let's go on to our next caller, which is area code 301. Welcome to the show. How are you, and what's your name?
I am doing well. My name is Lisa.
Hello, Lisa.
Hello.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland.
Oh, where? Okay, I used to live in Montgomery County.
Yeah, I live in Montgomery County as well.
I used to live in Montgomery Village.
No, I don't live in Montgomery Village, but I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, what was it, Montgomery Village? I lived in Rockville, Silver Spring.
Oh, you are quite familiar with the area.
I lived there for like 8 years, so yeah. I used to work for Terminix, so yeah, I'm pretty familiar with with a lot of things out there. So Lisa, how can we help you tonight?
Well, I'm hoping you can give me a reading on a relationship of which I've been in for 3 years on and off. And this time, it's kind of right there in the middle, but it feels kind of different. I don't know why it feels different, but it just feels different this time.
Okay. So what you're saying is it's a past love?
It's a current.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to get a sense of where this is going. Is it going anywhere? Why do I feel like there's a difference in our distance this time than any other time? I mean, we've gone months and reconnected. It's just this very convoluted relationship that I have never experienced before. And I'm not sure why I continue to participate. Because I'm very unhappy with the instability of it all.
Well, actually, I'm just going to look at the situation. I was reading, remember, we've been given the your area codes. We've been putting them in, using the area codes and going to the angel book and finding out what they mean. And I was actually drawn to actually read yours real quick. So I looked up 301, and it basically says you are co-creating the answers to your prayers with God and the Ascended Masters. The more you keep your thoughts heavenward and positive, the faster your prayers are answered. So it's like looking at this. That's a very powerful message, I think, as in the idea of saying, okay, instead of being confused. Because I was telling it's kind of funny, tonight I was talking to my daughter, and she's confused about a past relationship. She's married, and she says she's very happily married, but she says this one relationship that she has just sticks with her all the time. Because I think it's because the person still has feelings for her, and I think we have this thing about where when people still have feelings for us, we feel like we have to do something. And it's like looking at the situation and asking yourself, okay, what choices are you going to make? And with the choices you make, just be totally honest with yourself, but also in the process of manifestation, you've manifested these things to happen by those choices. So it's also imperative that you sit there and take the responsibility for what you've manifested and live it to the fullest. So if you're already in a marriage and you're living and all that kind of stuff, I think the big thing is if you have issues with these other things, why do you have issues with them? But she's traced it back to even when she was single, and there were certain things about the situation, she was always wondering why it never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sometimes you have to sit there and look at the situation as, this is why we cut the past loose. We just go, boom, it's gone. Period, let it go, because there are certain things that will be unresolved that you'll never have the answers for, that will keep bugging you if you continue to let them do. And basically what it is, it's just attachments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes I think we keep hanging on to just in case the situation we're in doesn't work out. Not realizing all we're doing is hanging on to the past, which is interfering with the future. So if you're even, because I've noticed also having trouble with spouses and stuff, it can be traced back to still hanging on to issues and certain things, or just the idea of hanging on to the past. So once people cut those loose, it's amazing how they connect and bond even more with the person they're already with.
I think you're absolutely right, because I have done that, because I was in such a good relationship before this one came along, and it was very stable, and it was the exact opposite of what I'm dealing with now. So I always idolize that relationship, not being with him, but how great it was, and comparing it to this, and it just feels horrible.
And there's nothing wrong with comparison, but it's the idea of realizing what you really do want. Is that relationship, I don't think it's that great relationship, but it's the idea of having a great relationship that you did have, so therefore you know you can have it. And you know for a fact that the one you're in now is not.
Right.
You know, it's like, look at, and I always sit here and say, people just say, look at the situation and say, it's, hypothetically, I believe this very, very strongly, that every person we ever loved, we still do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it didn't work. And more likely, it doesn't matter why it didn't work, but it was the ideal, it didn't work. So therefore, looking at the situations of all those relationships and say, okay, if I loved every one of those people, how's that possible? If you're a loving person, and you can totally be honest with yourself and say, I'm a loving person, it makes perfect sense to me that you still love those people because that's who you are. See,
but I want this relationship to work. I just want to stop all the nonsense that happens, but I just don't know if we should or if I should just take a break from this. I'm just so confused about it.
See, the one thing I tell everybody what you're confused about is it's not confusion. It's not wanting to actually do what you really really know that you have to do. It's the idea, okay, I really want this. This is what you want. This is, in some ways, the ego is saying, okay, this is what I want. So you're putting a limitation on it and almost like saying, this is the only thing I can have right now. So therefore, I have to make it work. Not realizing that the universe is pointing at you and saying, okay, what if the possibility of all this other relationship that you had is also pointing out to you that you can have that, okay, but it might not be with this person. Sometimes it's hard to come to the conclusion and say it might not be this person, especially if you're saying it doesn't work, as in saying, I can't,
well, when it works, it's the interesting thing about this. When it does work, it works fantastic. When it doesn't, it's just horrible.
Okay, so what's the one common denominator? Why? We don't really have to go into details what makes it work.
Right.
We just know it works, and we love it, and we go with the flow.
Great.
But when it's not going great, and it's not going great terribly, what's the common thing? What's the one thing that kind of sets the tone to where it goes there?
I think it's his emotional difficulties. That's what I believe.
Sometimes you have to get to the... I'm just saying, with the situation I pick up on, I would definitely agree with that, but I also got to look at the situation and say the person... Another thing comes up to me is saying, he's never going to do it the way you wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He's never going to do it the way you perceive things. Because he's an individual and so are you. So you perceive things and you're going to do them this way. And I think sometimes you question and say, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, of course you wouldn't. But that doesn't mean he won't. That doesn't mean he doesn't deal with it in that kind of way. I think if you really take the pressure off yourself and just look at the situation of, like, I've done this before. I've done this with a lot of people here lately. A friend of mine gave me this, and it makes so much sense to sit there and just say, to talk with and work with God and angels to say, okay, God and angels, just help me to love and respect this person for who they are and help me to love more every day.
Oh, I've done it.
Like, just continue to do that to the point where, because we're so freaking dead bit on that where there's something we can physically do to change things when actually all we're doing is making it worse by not going with the flow and let things fall into place. Here's a person who's dealing with things in an emotional way. Just because it doesn't happen as quick as we do or even in the depth or whatever, the way we perceive things, the way we work through things emotionally, and maybe we are a person who has no problem expressing our emotions. We have to be a reflection of that, so therefore he can learn from that, so he can be that person. But right now he's not. So therefore, if you get mad because he's not, is the idea of kind of taking away from the beauty of the unfolding of things happening the way they're supposed to. Because you're looking at the old relationship that you had before where things just fell into place very quickly, a person emotionally, when he didn't like you, or there was something about you he didn't like, he said so. You said so too. Everything was just one of those things you knew because there was some great communication going on there. And with this one, there's not. Not what you like.
Do you think that he's seeing someone else?
Well, see, that's one thing. What you're trying to do is you don't have answers. So your insecurities are filling those spots in with those insecurities. So you think those things. And
right.
I just get the strong impression that's the perception working against you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's almost like looking at the situation and go, okay, he's not dealing with it emotionally. I don't see another person. Even though I see people around him all the time, I just don't see him and his attention on anybody else. I also feel like he can be self-centered very much.
Very much so.
Right, so when you look at the situation, when he gets really emotional, when he doesn't deal with his emotions, I still feel like the reflection here is two people not really wanting to accept what really is. It doesn't mean nothing bad. Mm-hmm. I just feel like in the process of looking at the thing going, you are who you are. It's like the idea of the situation of being self-centered, there seems to be some really controlling issues too as well. So we look at the situation like this, at least a mean person. Now let's go past the mean person part and look at situations and say, why is he so self-centered? Why is he controlling? And me personally, when I look at people like that, most of the time when people are controlling of you, it's the lack of control within themselves. So since he can't deal with emotions and stuff, instead of not dealing with those, I think he might be even more controlling at those moments because he has no control over his life at that time that he feels. So he wants to control everything else he thinks he can. Also, being self-centered is a person who's gotten obsessive of focusing on things and he's looking at himself in a materialistic way of worth.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at worth as being, well, what we were saying before, like materialistic. Materialistic means, a lot of people put it in and say, well, if I don't have a job, if I don't make no money, then I'm nobody. Not realizing
so
you always.
Yes, right.
Yep. So it's the idea of a situation of a person realizing the reason you can't deal with emotions because you haven't dealt with the reality that you are a great person, job or not job.
Right.
Okay. But also the reflection to you is the ideal of a person being self-centered is the ideal you don't focus enough on yourself. You're too focused on him. In any kind of shape or form, I'm just saying the reflection is there. He's self-centered, so therefore it shows since he focuses on himself too much, then you don't focus on yourself enough. You see how you guys mirror each other? It's just the idea of understanding what that means. And I think the ideal here is the ideal of stop trying to understand it and see it for what it really is, then learn from that.
I just want to give up. I mean, so many times I just give up and walk away, and then months later we reconnect, and it seems to be this vicious cycle.
Well, I feel like in some sense the word you got to get pulled apart so you guys can grow. So
mm-hmm.
if we have a person who comes back into the picture the same way he was when he left, and there might have been some changing with him on the surface, but the growing part comes within it.
Right. Okay.
See, the part here, the hardest part, I hope people understand it, until he comes to that realization and he has that growth, and he can't perceive this relationship the way you want it.
So it sounds like I should just exit once again.
Well, it's one of those things.
And we'll all be happier, at least for the temporary.
It's like trying to put ourselves in perspective, not being selfish, but we have to focus on ourselves and say, okay, what's good for me?
Mm-hmm.
If this is not good for you, just be honest with yourself. It's not good for you. And then walk away, but also make a determination that a lot of people do this where they sit there and go, we've heard both sides where people get into a relationship, well, if it doesn't work, I'll find another, then I'll just go on. To me, that's setting yourself up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the same thing, too, when you sit there and focus on a situation, well, I'm going to walk away, and maybe we'll reconnect some other time. See, you're
right.
Putting a limitation on any kind of relationship that comes in afterwards. And you're setting those up for failure because you want the other one back. So what you should, you need to walk away and say, okay, the purpose of saying, you could do it in another way. Instead of saying, God and angels help me to love and respect this person for who he is, you could just put it in a situation of saying, God and angels help me to respect and love everyone for who they are and help me to love more every day. Don't put any names or any kind of expectations on it. Just put it out to the universe and basically, because some people sit there and say, well, the universe failed. And, no, I think in some sense the word, the universe always comes through and gives us exactly what we want, what we need, and what's good for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's just for us to let down our expectations of what we think is good for us.
Right.
But, you know, because we're trying to, because people sort of go, well, we can't. It's almost like this girlfriend that I had was the ideal expectations of a relationship that she actually did get, and she manifested exactly the way it was. And then when it happened that way, something, it's like almost like realizing a lot of things about themselves that you hope that they will express to you in the sense of saying, I love you, but it doesn't, you know, we always hope for those things.
Right.
That confirmation, because real honestly, that's what we want. We want to be loved unconditionally, which makes us feel more safe about giving it to you.
Right.
And I think sometimes in situations of these people who have a tendency to want to take control and be controlling, which is kind of funny because they always want to put us in that position of saying, well, you're controlling, when it's actually them. And what I feel like at that moment is those realizations, those certain things they found out about themselves,
mm-hmm.
they're hard to sit there and go, well, I've thought for so long that I just never could find those things. And then when I did, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then they sit there and kind of like walk away. But see, the controlling part really confirms how they feel. But what determines the outcome and where it's going to go is if they're going to learn from that and grow up. And to realize that, almost like with your guy too, I feel like the same thing. Where you got friends and family and everybody else with influence, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. What would they think? What would they think? You know, I mean, the biggest thing that people have to understand that the idea of even asking the word, what would they think, is an excuse. Because you don't want, the unknown scares people. Me, I welcome it. It's like, okay, let's walk into a hidden cave. Give me a flashlight. Let's go. You know, and I feel like that's how life is. And
right,
we have no
that's
problem.
To be how my life is. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Not another bad relationship.
Yeah, but see, we have to look at things, too. When we drive our car and we're traveling at night, honestly, we can only see 200 feet in front of us.
Right.
But we have no problem and keep on going.
Right.
And that's how life is with anything and everything. If you could just learn to do that, to realize, okay, and then a deer gets in front of us, we do what we got to do, and then we get back on the road and proceed, keep going. A dog crosses our path, or someone cuts us off. We learn from it, but we keep going on. And if we could just keep doing that with everything and anything and realize that, okay, this is not working, and then find the solution. What's the solution? Are we really scared of that whole thing? But what I was trying to say was when the people who come to the conclusion, when you sit and say, this person's loving me unconditionally, I got exactly what I wanted, the realization is I'm going to have to, it's like almost like a scared thing. I'm going to have to give up things. The realization to realize what you got and what you get and what you're going. I mean, I know for a fact when I was writing, I used to write a lot, when I used to write my journals, and it was really powerful that when you read your journal and realize by reading this journal that what you're living at that moment, you wrote before it even happened. Some people, when it comes to that point, it could be maturity, it could be anything, it could be influence, have a tendency to look at those things and go, ooh, that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us embrace it, some of us don't. And I feel like every one of those people will embrace it sooner or later. But how will that unfold? Well, right now at this moment, we have to sit there and think about the situation. Okay, that's great. But when we talk about loving ways, unconditionally loving people, sometimes we have to realize that those people are, maybe we're not good for each other, but we love them unconditionally to understand that maybe we're destined for two different people, that we can love them enough to let them go so they can be with who they're going to be with and we can move on too. To be where we're supposed to be at. And I feel like it's the situation here with you, is the ideal, that conclusion has already happened. It's just the ideal of getting the courage to do what you don't want to do.
Wow.
And there's other, yeah.
I was hoping for just the, I know it sounds so crazy, but I was hoping just for the opposite. I was hoping that somehow this was, we were going to start anew, and I remember, you know, when the first year that we met, and somehow we could go back to that, but obviously we can't.
You can't go back, but you can
right.
go forward.
Right.
And sometimes you got to look at situations, too. I mean, I had an ex-fiance with, like, you know, the angels and my guys were saying, you're going to get back together. You're going to cross paths. She's going to call you. And I said, okay, no problem, good. But they come and saying, watch and listen. So I said, okay, no problem, I'm going to watch and listen. So I watched and listened. When I heard her come, when she finally did call me, it was all she did was tell me about all the things that happened 3 years prior. See, she was still there. She was
right.
still complaining.
Right.
She was still on the whole thing. I'm sitting there going, I started thinking about all the things that happened to me, all the good
right.
things that had happened. And I started thinking to myself, I said, now I know what they mean by listen to it. It wasn't just the idea of realizing that wasn't going to work, but I almost realized that three to four lifetimes was the same thing was happening. It wasn't what the unresolved issues to deal with. It wasn't the ideal to relationship together, but was realizing that we just wasn't meant to be together, because the past life reading, I saw what that one was, she's still in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And the process, because I'll sit there, see, I have a tendency to look at everything. When a person has back problems, I look at their lives and see why that physical ailment is manifesting in them, in their lives, what I see. And I start seeing people who either don't have a backbone to speak their mind, either don't have a backbone to go get what they want, or they play the victim. And they have back problems and all kinds of issues that go with it. And usually there's drug problems, too. So when you look at those situations and that kind of stuff, it's just crazy. So that's what I'm saying. You look at the whole thing and everything else, be honest with each other and see what's going on. I mean, the girl I was just with, she has migraines and cold sores. And it's because every time we talk, she gets a migraine. And I express myself, but she refuses to really honestly express herself. So therefore, we have a migraine, which is probably created by suppressed feeling and things we don't want to deal with. So take those things, and even the cold sores. The cold sores could be coming from just the ideal that a person not speaking the truth. And what they are speaking, and usually when people are not speaking the truth, then they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
So we can have physical ailments that go along with those.
Right.
And actually, scientists and doctors are starting to see that too, where certain emotional things that we keep hanging on to or stored in our bodies have a tendency to manifest in those bodies.
Right.
And the people who don't let those things affect them don't seem to have the same kind of ailment, even with the part of cancers and all kinds of stuff. So when you hear this kind of information, what it means to you is you need to go find this. You need to follow through with the solution that you need to know. You know you need to go, because it's the ideal. Are you living in the past because of what you want and trying to create something here? And it could be simply also to be a double-edged sword to the point where it's saying it doesn't mean it's over, but it's the ideal. Maybe if you're not focusing on recreate a past, but to start building on a future, it had nothing to do with that. It was just the idea of showing things about each other that you do know exist, but doing it in different ways, different experience.
So could I potentially be sabotaging every relationship that I've ever been in? Because the same issues come up time and time again.
Yeah, the past issues.
Right.
So we can sit here and look at the situations. And ask ourselves, too, that if you do take yourself to the point of just staying in love unconditionally, that is something you're doing in the present, which actually will help you let go of the past, in the process of realizing the past doesn't exist, and no reason it exists because you allow it to.
Mm-hmm.
And try to get rid of it, say, and just do meditations and stuff, and just say, okay, the future, the past does not exist. I'm not going to let anything come into my life from the past, because it couldn't do anything good. And I'm going to focus on the situation. If you want to continue the relationship, it's just to sit there and say, okay, let's focus on if we just decided just to create something like we've never known each other before.
Uh-huh.
And just look at each other. Just look at each other now. And then build off that. I think that in some sense of the word, you might not have to give the relationship, but because you're actually trying to establish something in the present, which is actually going to affect your future in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep hanging on to the past, is what's causing, as you call it, sabotaging this relationship. So if you feel that's the way it is, but I feel like deep in your stomach, it's what you're getting right now, butterflies and everything.
Right.
I think you need to follow through. I think you need to follow through with that.
Okay. Okay. I think I've been enlightened.
Okay.
So many ways. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night. Please
you
give
too.
Us a call back.
Thank you again.
All right.
Good night.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye. Good night. Okay. So, isn't it crazy how this thing just spun? All right. Area code 817. Welcome to
Hi.
The show. You're on. Hi, how are you?
Pretty good. Getting very enlightened, that's for sure.
Thank you. 817, where's that at?
That's Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay. I was also looking your number up, too, 817. And 817 is basically saying your ideals and thoughts about your career are right on course and will bring you a rise or a promotion. I'm sorry, it's a raise. A raise. A raise.
I'm going to rise, all right. That's kind of crazy because I'm not employed right now.
Well, if you look at the situation, I always, we've had people say to me, well, what's that mean for me since I'm not working right now? I mean, in the process of focusing on positive thoughts and focusing on exactly what you do want, what will happen is if you, in the process of getting a job, you went from zero income to making income, so that's a heck of a raise.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
So when you get those kind of things going on, and I get that, realistically, I keep getting things coming together pretty soon. Look for the numbers 555-222. And a lot of people keep seeing a lot of 11s. Now, 11s or 111, those are great numbers. Those are manifestation numbers. So they're always telling you that at that moment, they're saying right at that moment, a great powerful vortex is opening up. So therefore, the idea of manifesting exactly what you want will happen just as you think about it. So therefore, make sure your thoughts are positive and you're focusing on what you want, not the opposite. Mm-hmm. Because with that kind of energy, you get, well, anytime you focus on anything, you're going to get it. You definitely want to focus, you don't want to focus on any more that you've gone through. I think you've gone through enough lessons.
Oh, quite a bit.
And we want people to understand that. Sometimes I get a lot of people in a situation with relationship counseling with people and telling them, maybe you should stop focusing on a soulmate, because soulmates have always been put in the category as learning lessons. That people feel like some of the relationships they've been into, the reason they want to attract a soulmate is because they feel like they need to punish themselves. That they need to learn something in a lesson. And sometimes it's just the idea of the punishment. It's like self-punishment. When it could be something is they're not looking at it realistically as that. You've heard this before. I'm in an abusive relationship. I'm getting beat up. But what did I do? And realistically, there's nothing wrong with saying that because you have manifested that relationship in for some reason. That's why you're there. And it could be just the idea of learning how to be stronger within yourself where it wasn't supposed to continue as long as it did. So therefore, but you still have to look at the situation and say, okay, we're looking at it and say, okay, I manifested it. Yes, you did. So what are you going to do about it? And some people have a tendency to say, well, maybe I deserve it. So how do we know they didn't? How we know they didn't attract the soulmate relationship? Because a lot of times in the situations, there is a lot of compatibility. It was a great relationship, and then for some reason it turned itself around and became bad. And both parties have to look at it, but both parties have to look at it not from the other person's point of view at that moment. So, you know, the idea of trying to figure out what's good for them, what they need to do. You can be understanding and go, okay, this guy's got some issues. He got his father used to beat him up, or his mom up, or something, so it's traced on. But sometimes it's kind of hard to look at the situations and say, okay, when's it going to stop? And that's when I feel like a person needs to sit there and look at the situation and stop letting the world dictate your success or lack of, because the world right now, in some of the books I've seen, says that 97% of abusive men never change. But see, no one's looking at the 3%. And I think if we really focus on the 3% of the men who don't or who do change, I think we could change that 97% into against who say they don't change. I think we could change it around by focusing on the 3% and turn that into 97% where men can change, because we all know for a fact in life nothing is written in stone. So therefore the change can happen. But when you have people who constantly keep reinforcing it, which is I think a lot of times people have a problem with doctors, is because they go by the fact and they keep it in a box. So there's hardly any room for change. You know, we've heard the term step out of the box. I think that's what I mean. Step out of the norm and say, okay, what's the possibility? Because the world's going to tell you one thing because that's what they're comfortable with. And it's amazing how things are so normal right now. I started telling some lady, and she's like, me and this guy are texting or emailing each other. We're in the texting and email phase. And I said, lady, take it from a relationship counselor. There is no such thing. And actually, realistically, there's no phases in relationships. These are the things that we notice in relationships that happen to help them understand the lack of success or whatever it is. They're just ways. They're just tools to figure out things within relationships and what's going on. But we don't live those things. And so many people these days are doing just that. Okay, we go to this phase, and then once we're comfortable with this, we go to the next phase, and there's no spontaneous actions going on in relationships, so nothing's working out. And they're going, why isn't that working? Because it's thinking, not loving. And there's definitely a difference. And we had this in the first part of the show we were talking about, where I was trying to focus everybody saying, today we send love to this world.
Right.
And just see the spirit of God in you and me. And then think about the situation of just loving unconditionally. Like it says, love God. In the process of loving God, you're just loving yourself. Love yourself, you love God. So it's continuous realizing that you're not separate of anything. That's your mind. Your logic is saying you're separate from God. But when you start following your heart and you start seeing things in a loving way, you see the truth that there was never any separation. That was just the mind, the logic, dictating and saying all kinds of crap and saying, well, you know, we sin, we did all these things, so we're not a part of God anymore. And I said, well, what happened when Jesus showed up? He said that you are. But for some, it's amazing. I'm just saying some religions are driving me crazy because they have tendency to take those things out because they just want to really reinforce the victim part. And basically, if you look at the situation, one thing, reason I like to look at Jesus, because when he's there and focused on anything, healing is an instant manifestation. And he did so many miracle things, but what they were was just showing us manifestation in action in the process of having that much faith where they just happened. And him saying, you have dominion, so you can do the same. And then here we are in the 21st century, even after all these events have happened, and people are still saying, I have no power. I'm not God. But you are a part of God. So therefore, it's like you have kids. Your kids are extensions of you. So someone, 9 out of 10 times, they are who you are. And explain. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get off on the subject. But it's just the idea that when we learn how to love and love unconditionally, amazing how many things turn around and they start going in the direction we wanted to. And we're always looking for the truth, too. We're looking for information. We're looking for things about ourselves and that kind of thing. So follow your heart. It will lead you to the truth. In the process of following your heart, this will awaken the mind. It will spiritually illuminate the mind to the point where they both work together and realize you'll start seeing past the illusion and you'll see the truth every time. Feel it, you'll know it, and plus you'll see it. And that's what we want to see. We want people to sit here and look at the situation, not limitations, but we want to sit here and look at the possibilities of what they can actually do with their lives and actually follow through with that. Now, so I'll take a deep breath and drink water, and I think we'll be okay. So I'm sure you told us your name, but we're taking down to like 44 seconds here. And all I want to say is, if we do get cut off, do I have permission to call back and finish this reading?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, because they have the tendency to, I see it counting down on my thing, but they have a tendency to cut it off and.
There's no
warning like we're gonna cut you off. No, it's just like it just goes, I'll be sitting here talking to you and I'll go block, thank you for listening to Block Talk Radio, boom, and you're gone.
Right. Just be like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I know you have some questions to ask, but I don't think you can seriously do them in about 6 seconds. That's why I'll say I'll call you back when we get cut off.
Okay.
Well,